It's the best bike vacation ever.
3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities.
It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek,
Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Near the Lebanese border. Too hot.
There has been an Israeli airstrike in southern Lebanon, in the area of Qiyam, near the eastern end of the border.
UN spokesman Farhan Haq, 4 UN peacekeepers died. Meanwhile...
I'm Robert Berger in Haifa, where dozens of people are crowding into a stairwell in an apartment building after yet another warning siren. The sirens have been going off all day here. People have been gathering at the scene of the rocket attacks, like one right outside here that landed. And then when the sirens go off, everyone runs again for cover.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice wrapped up her first round of meetings in the Middle East and is in Rome for the next top-level talks. U.S. troops killed an al-Qaeda leader in Iraq today and captured three of his followers, too. It happened near Beji in the north. The 17-year-old boy, Zachariah Blanton, faces charges in the weekend sniper shootings on Interstate 65 and 69 in Indiana. State Police Superintendent Paul Weitzel.
There was a consent to search executed of the residence, wherein was found a rifle of the same type and caliber that we were looking for in the investigation.
Four vehicles were shot, one man killed, another person was wounded. The Justice Department fights back in court to protect the NSA's terror surveillance program. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis at the Justice Department.
The Justice Department filed this lawsuit after two Missouri officials issued subpoenas to phone companies to see if Missouri residents have had their communications intercepted by the NSA program. The lawsuit claims the federal government has the exclusive control over intelligence gathering, and that any disclosure by the phone companies would harm national security.
More than three dozen people have died in California's heat wave.
At this power grid control center near Los Angeles, there's an ongoing evaluation of the state's expected power needs, along with expected resources, and they've put out a warning of the need to conserve energy as much as possible. The biggest problem, the continuing heat wave.
We're looking at a peak load that was similar to yesterday, same kind of temperatures. Conservation is the key word.
Grid operations manager Tracy Bibb says the next step could be selected outages at businesses on the voluntary shutdown list. After that, the only alternative could be rolling blackouts in residential areas. Ron Kilgore, CBS News, Alhambra, California.
Some old folks are just tough as pine knots. 82-year-old Robert Flynn in Greensboro, North Carolina, faced a mugger who was armed with a shotgun. Flynn beat him silly with his walking cane instead, sent him limping back to his getaway car. On Wall Street, the Dow was up almost 53 points today. The Nasdaq gained a dozen. Oil prices, $73.75 a barrel, down $1.30. This is CBS News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
CompUSA email bag. Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate. Our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
They were called the Xbox murders, and the verdicts are in.
The verdicts started with the accused ringleader.
State of Florida,
versus Troy Victorino.
He and two others guilty of 29 charges from first-degree murder to conspiracy and abuse of a dead body. Prosecutors say the men beat six people to death with baseball bats after they went to retrieve some belongings, including an Xbox game. It happened after one of the victims discovered them living in a family home and evicted them. The jury will decide whether they live or die starting Thursday. A fourth man pled guilty but has since changed his mind. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Getting caught with one hand in the cookie jar is one thing. Finding a hand in a jar, quite another. Police say they found a hand in a jar, literally, in South Plainfield, New Jersey, at the home of a nude dancer who does a pagan, occult, goth kind of performance. Linda Kay is the woman's name. She also had half a dozen human skulls at her apartment. Thus far, refuses to tell the police just where she got them. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all of these things and going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me, it's the Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Now it's time for everybody's favorite game show,
Lying or Stupid!
Our contestants will hear a quote from today's press conference with President Bush and Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki, and tell us if the president is lying or stupid! Ready, contestants? Here's your first Bush quote.
I just had a very constructive meeting with the leader of a government that has been chosen by the Iraqi people in free and fair elections.
Contestant number one, is President Bush lying or stupid?
Well, he is avoiding the truth, and he doesn't seem that bright.
Obviously, that's just a nice way of saying lying and stupid. Now, here's our second quote. Is Bush lying or stupid?
The truth of the matter is, the Iraqi army is becoming a highly professional force that will help bring confidence to the people inside Iraq.
Oh, my God. That's total bullshit.
Total bullshit is correct. So is deceit, distortion, mendacity, and fraud. And we will also accept stupid or lying. That's all for this week, folks. See you next time on Lying or Stupid. Stay tuned for the people of Lebanon in jeopardy.
I thought you were going to ask about the pig.
That's our fearless leader. Yeah, I mean, any plan that comes out of his brain is obviously going to work, right?
Regime change in Iraq would bring about a number of benefits to the region. Extremists in the region would have to rethink their strategy of jihad. Moderates throughout the region would take heart. And our ability to advance the Israeli-Palestinian peace process would be enhanced.
Oh, my God. I mean, he was wrong, and wrong. It's unbelievable. And this was all conceived way, way before you think it was. This was all conceived in 1996. This was put down on paper. And here's the clean break containment and destabilization policy. Okay? It was basically calling for a dirty war. And it named, for the first time, preemption as the preferred strategy in the Middle East. Preemption. Attacking people who had not attacked you. And it was conceived by a bunch of neoconservatives and Likud Knesset people. I mean, if there's neocons in Israel, then they are Benjamin Netanyahu and Sharansky, okay? And if there are neocons in America, they are Dick Cheney, Richard Pearl, Wolfowitz, and the Wormser family, who love fascism. Oh, they just love it. And the reason for the policy is not for the freedom or the expansion of freedom or the expansion of democracies. No, it's for the enrichment of a select few who have decided to throw in together and use war as a racket, war as an economic tool, war as a way to enrich themselves. And, of course, once Israel's brought into it, oh, my God, you can't talk, can't do that, can't talk about it. But here's the targets. Here's the actual targets in order. Now, we didn't. Iraq came first. The redirection of U.S. forces to Syria after toppling Saddam Hussein is a high priority for Israel. An increase in allegations of Syrian shipments of war material. Allegations. Okay, and there's another aspect to this that you're gonna just get ready to hear it. You're gonna start to hear that Syria is in the drug business. You're gonna start to hear that Syria is a bunch of drug smugglers, and that all the drugs that are grown in Afghanistan. We had a chance to eradicate all those poppies and show the farmers a better way. And instead, we deprived the farmers of irrigation in Afghanistan, except for the poppy growers, who are really having banner crops. And now they're going to say, yeah, so what? It's all going through Damascus. They're drug dealers. They're drug dealers. But anyway, here's what the document says. This is after you topple Saddam Hussein. The redirection of U.S. forces to Syria after toppling Saddam Hussein is a high priority for Israel. An increase in allegations of Syrian transshipments of war material and use as an entry point for regional Muslims answering a call for jihad could quickly be aggrandized into support for use of force by the massive U.S. military force already in the region. I mean, this was 1996. They already knew that we would be in Iraq. The first thing they asked for was that the Americans go and topple Saddam Hussein and occupy Iraq. And once we had troops there. And today President Bush is talking about putting more troops in Iraq. Why? Because they're going to be redirected. Those troops will be taken out of Baghdad, taken out of Iraq, and they will be put into Syria and Iran. This is the creepy thing. Okay, so that's the first target is Iraq. The second target, according to the document, I don't think we're going in order, but the second target was Syria. Now, they talk about as soon as you topple Saddam Hussein, start making allegations against Syria. Say that Syria is supplying materials for jihadists. Say that Syria is a place where the Muslim jihadis go to in order to get transport to other places to conduct their terror attacks. Of course, we know that's not true because we know that the Saudis who attacked us on 9/11 got their funding and financing through the United Arab Emirates, who does business with Israel all the time, and business with the United States. Currently, they're running our ports. Okay, and then Syria is next. It says, Israel responded with airstrikes that destroyed three Lebanese power stations and injured 20 civilians. Simmering conflict. Violence in and around Golan Heights has flared. Hezbollah guerrillas on the border zone, who have been fighting to force the Israelis to withdraw, have killed seven Israeli soldiers. Iran. Link freelancers to Iran. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld accused hundreds of Iraqi Shia militia fighters based in Iran of crossing back into Iran, complicating the military mission for the U.S.-led coalition, seeking to oust Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. Rush to classify them as enemy combatants, even though the forces could be channeled onto the American side. Saudi Arabia, smear and defame. Richard Pearl contacted Rand Corporation analyst Laurent Murawick on July 10, 2002. Rand's briefing declared Saudi Arabia an enemy of the United States and advocated that the U.S. invade the country, seize its oil fields, and confiscate all of its financial assets. Egypt, the big prize. Condition and cut foreign aid to Egypt and increase support for Israel. It's just about money, okay? It's not about keeping anybody safe. In fact, it's going to create much more acts of terrorism, because when people don't have a military like the United States or like Israel, which has a fabulous military, and in fact, one thing I love about Israel that I think America really ought to do is make sure that every single person serves in the military. That's why they say Israel doesn't suffer casualties of soldiers very well. It's because everybody is a soldier. Everybody has been a soldier, or everybody will be a soldier. So everybody gets it. It's one of the really great things. One of the things I like the best about Israel is that service to the country. Wearing the uniform. It's very important. Now, my patriotism to this nation has been challenged by people who've never worn the uniform. And, of course, I have worn the uniform. And so when I bitch about the troops don't have what they need, you didn't send them in the right numbers, the troops don't have an exit strategy, the troops don't even know who's supposed to win in Iraq, I think this is plain chaos. Why are the contractors in there? How come the only kids that got prosecuted for Abu Ghraib were reservists, kids? Where were the contractors? Why weren't they prosecuted? Even the Taguba report recommended prosecution for contractors. It never happened. Why is that? When I say that, it's because I understand what it's like to be a low-ranking reservist and to have to stand there and listen to your government blame you for what you know other people came into your chain of command to do, which was to set the conditions so that Abu Ghraib could happen. And what did Abu Ghraib get us? Insurgents. People wanting to target our troops. Funny that people talk about places that they have no idea what the power structure is saying and what the people are saying. It's like, America, as an American, I was embarrassed for a really long time because Bush's popularity was unbelievable at the beginning of this invasion of an unarmed nation. And people are going to sit there and go, the Israelis have been attacked and, they've been attacked brutally. And so, of course, they have the right to self-defense. And yes, I agree with that statement. But can you imagine how the Iraqis feel? What did they ever do to America? And they've been attacked and slaughtered, and you think this is going to make us safer? Trust me, there are Israelis listening right now. A guy called me yesterday from Tel Aviv telling me, you're exactly right. People here are just flipped out by this crazy idea that attacking Lebanon, which is a moderate Arab democracy and a perfect neighbor, and attacking the civilians there is going to make Israel safer. It's just bullcrap. The whole idea by the neocons and by the Likud, the Benjamin Netanyahu's, the Sharansky's, the Wormser's, the whole idea is to destabilize the entire Middle East, the whole of the Middle East. It leaves out no one. It doesn't leave out Egypt, who made peace with Israel and kept that peace. Has Syria done anything with the Golan Heights in Israel? No. Is the Sinai cool? People actually died through this peace process to get a peace process. All of a sudden, Bush becomes president and everybody dies again? Everybody dies. Lebanon's leader assassinated. Yasser Arafat, not that I ever thought that man would make peace. He only knew one way to stay in power, and that was to keep on banging the drum of terror. That was his deal. He was a bad guy. All of a sudden, he's like poisoned, and Ariel Sharon, all of a sudden, stroking out in a coma somewhere. They even floated it the other day in the middle of all this death reporting that Sharon wasn't doing so well and that he might die. And now they got a guy who knows nothing about military, nothing. Olmert, he doesn't know anything about military. He's going to be bamboozled by Rumsfeld and Pearl and Wolfowitz, and the Wormsers, and Netanyahu. These people are in it for themselves. They're not in it for the Americans, and they're not in it for the Israelis. No good can come from this wholesale slaughter of civilians in Lebanon, who just had an election and picked a nice, moderate guy. They were going to be a perfect neighbor. Things were looking good. Oh, we can't have that. We need destabilization. Only then can we make money. This is evil crap. 18 after.
The Randy Rhoads Show. Busting Osama with one right wing tied behind her back.
So I don't know where he is. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him.
This is Air America Radio.
You're listening to AM 1320.
So hot today in New York City, that naked guy on the subway was screaming, "Who's crazy now?" Hot down in Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney replaced his pacemaker with an ice maker. Is that hot? It's so hot, Christy Brinkley is now dating Ben and Jerry.
Whoa!
It's so hot today, ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that. That's what he said. That's what President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Elizabeth in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hi.
Hi.
I thank you so much for taking my call. I've been listening to you for a long time. This is my first time I've called. The reason I'm calling was because of that other individual who called, and then Ben called in response. I thank goodness for Ben. Thank you very much. You know, I was always told by my parents if you're losing the argument or if you don't have the facts, you start calling names. And that's what happens. I'm Jewish. I love being Jewish. I believe Israel has the right to exist. I do not believe they have the right to overreact or to bulldoze neighborhoods or to do what they're doing right now. I think that people take out the anti-Semitic card too easily. And, you know, I remember during the 60s, I'm probably older than you, them saying, my country right or wrong. Well, you know what? This is my country, and I have a responsibility to right the wrongs.
Exactly.
I feel the same way about Israel. I feel the same way about being Jewish, and what they are doing is not only counterproductive to bringing peace, it is creating anti-Semitism. Everything they do, and it's insanity. It's like doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different response.
I agree. I think that's exactly right. And these guys only know this one way, and that is to just kill people and get them out of the way. And now they're going for the big enchilada. They're going for a whole genocide all across the Middle East, and they don't think they're ever going to have to pay for this. I mean, how does this help America, and how does it help Israel? How does it help anybody that lives on this planet to be free or safer, or how does it promote democracy?
It doesn't, and I would like to ask Jews across this country, whoever is listening, those who are blindly following this non-leader, whatever, this Bush, because they think that he's on the side of Israel. Well, you know, you're all being duped. And this gentleman who, this individual who calls in and started calling you names because it's so easy to do. I am not a self-hating Jew. I am a self-loving Jew, and I'm a human being first. Step back. Let's take a step back. If we don't like what's going on in this country, why should we like what's going on over there? And why can't we support the thousands of Israelis who are trying to do there what we are trying to do here?
Well, you know, there is an entire Israeli peace movement, just like there's an entire American peace movement. And people who believe in peace, I don't think, have borders or boundaries, like Doctors Without Borders, like,
there's no border
when it comes to peace. Every single, you know, the one thing that President Bush ever said that was true was every human being desires to be free and secure. Every single person does. Where the disagreement comes is when strong leaders start to sell lies to the population by telling them, if you do this, you'll be more secure. If you do this, you'll be more free. And then people end up with neither of those things.
That's
and
right.
They sit there and scratch their head and other various body parts and go, why did I listen to him?
Mm-hmm. Right, like we're fighting.
Because you were loyalists, not patriots.
Exactly, and I love it when you say that.
It's
loyalists,
true.
Loyalists, not patriots.
And that's the difference between someone says, my country, right or wrong, and someone who says, I love my country when it's right, and when it's wrong, I love it so much, I write it.
The Randy Rhoads Show. Radio only smarter. This is Air America Radio.
It's the Randy Rhoads Show.
It's the best bike vacation ever.
3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Bandit.
Miss Romney. What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Taking care of myself, making the decisions that are right for me.
We're informed, prepared, just in case.
We're starting a family, and we're so excited.
I'm using protection.
Definitely. Getting tested, too.
To be sure. At Planned Parenthood, we are here for you with high-quality personal care at an affordable cost. Take care of yourself.
For a wide range of health information and services, call 1-800-230-PLAN.
This is Howard Zinn. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced false news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member for an investigation.
Sponsored by After Downing Street.
The rich corporations have turned a deaf ear. They don't care who goes hungry. They made that much clear. You see, the trouble with people is we wanna believe, but they can't turn a profit without tricks up their sleeves. It's the roofers and truckers, the working class suckers, the firemen and teachers, the soldiers and preachers who shoulder the blows. It comes and it goes. A $6 trillion debt you pay through the nose. I said, don't get me started. I'm a drag when I've had a few drinks. Don't get me started. I don't care what anyone thinks, cause it makes me angry.
One of the things that's important is for and one of the reasons why you trust the commanders on the ground is because there needs to be flexibility. And I explained to the Prime Minister that I'll be making my decisions based upon the recommendations of General Casey. And obviously the violence in Baghdad is still terrible. And therefore there needs to be more troops.
More troops.
The commander said, what more can we do? How best to address the conditions on the ground? And they have recommended, as a result of working with the Prime Minister, based upon his recommendation, that we increase the number of
U.S. troops.
Oh, my God. They're staging. Don't you get it? They're staging. They're going to be sending more troops to Iraq to stage them there for the next piece of this policy, which is Syria and Iran. They are killers, man. They are killers. They work. They don't spend 2 seconds on peace. They don't spend 2 seconds on peace. They don't spend 2 seconds on getting the terrorists that actually, attacked us. But now they've got you talked into the fact that we should kill the Lebanese civilians because inside the country there's a terrorist organization that's armed with missile. They're not missiles. They're rockets. Like big giant M-80s, that can go 12 miles. Hi, I'm in New Jersey.
Hi, Randy.
Hey.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to remind everyone. I get very upset about the use of the word genocide. For me, it's kind of like the G word, and I think we need to be very careful about saying what's going on in, with Israel and Lebanon and calling it any way a genocide. I really don't think it's that way. You know, there may be some truth to this, neocon cast that's been going on out there all this time, but I don't think that that's the action of the Israeli people at the moment.
What do you think about the wholesale slaughter of Iraqis? What do you think that should be called?
Oh, I think, first of all, again, I think it's a little harsh to call it a genocide.
Okay, so let's do it this way. Let's do it this way. Well, I want to understand what is and what is not a genocide to you, okay? When Saddam Hussein gassed the Kurds, was that genocide?
Yes.
Why is it that when America bombed with 2,000-pound daisy cutters in something we literally called, we had the nerve to call it shock and awe, and then went about just 300,000 Iraqis missing, dead, God knows how many maimed, mangled, and mutilated soldiers on our side. What do you call the wholesale slaughter of an unarmed people?
I call it wrong.
So when Saddam Hussein attacked the Kurds, that was genocide.
That was a genocide.
When America went and bombed the hell out of Iraqi civilian neighborhoods and killed Iraqis who had done nothing to us, that was.
Randy, you're picking the wrong guy. Because first of all, I'm a liberal. I'm left.
No, what was it? What do you want me to call it? What do you want me to call it when you take an entire country of people who are unarmed?
Call it wrong, but don't call it a genocide. A genocide is something that should be used carefully when there is a group of people
Is Darfur a genocide?
Is Darfur a genocide?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Was Bosnia a genocide?
Yes.
Why not Iraq?
Why not Iraq? Because Iraq was not a case of the U.S. government, and trust me, I have plenty of issues with the war in Iraq, and I am certainly not calling in any way to defend the war in Iraq and a lot of our actions there, okay? All I'm trying to say is it wasn't a case where the American people decided, let us wipe out a group of people because of their genetics, because of, how they were born.
But that is that's the definition of genocide. Genocide is the deliberate and systematic destruction of a racial, political, or cultural group.
Genocide comes from the word gene, and I think we need to be sensitive to what's been happening in Darfur.
Dictionary definition for genocide. I read it to you now. Genocide, noun. The deliberate and systematic destruction of a racial, political, or cultural group. What do you consider we did in Iraq?
I think we know what it means, but I also think that we need to be sensitive.
I think you're wrong, and I think that you are reserving that word for certain people and not for others. And I think that that's biased. When you go into a country and you slaughter wholesale an unarmed population in the name of lies and deceit, and they've not attacked you, and you call it.
Yeah, but you don't.
You call it something. You call it pre. You call it preemptive war. That is a genocide against an entire country's population. Simply because they were born where they were born, in Iraq.
I don't think that.
I don't care what you think. That's what it is, and that's what the dictionary says it is. You need to rethink why you reserve that word, and you have hesitation about Darfur being a genocide. You're very clear about the Kurds being a genocide, which I think is only because they've marketed it to you that way. And so you've come to accept that the neocons told you it was a genocide, so it is. And, of course, the liberals told you it was. So if both sides agree, then it's a genocide. Everybody agrees the Holocaust was a genocide. But, you know, what's really fascinating about the Holocaust and the genocide in the Holocaust was it wasn't just against Jews. You know, 12 million people were exterminated. 6 million were Jews. Obviously, Jews were the primary focus of fascist Nazis. I mean, that was who they blamed for the bad economy in Germany. It was always the Jews. But they also rounded up gypsies and Christians who helped hide Jews who did not go along with the German position. And they also annihilated gay people. That was part of getting the Germans to go along with the genocide against the Jews. Well, we'll get the gays, too. And it's just like this in America. Why you don't see it, I don't get it. It's the same exact group, and it's the same exact group think. And it's the except they've just decided to blame different people. And they've committed a genocide in Iraq. They have wholesale slaughtered. They've destroyed an entire, deliberately and systematically, destroyed an entire cultural group. An entire political class, an entire racial profile, an Iraqi, their life was worth nothing. And people were here, were beaten. Yes, we have to go, and I don't care who we have to get. For what? And Saddam Hussein survived. I don't get it. I don't get why people won't call something what it is. It's bias. Chris in Connecticut.
Hi, Randy.
Hello.
I also have things I don't get. I grew up during the Nixon administration, and at family get-togethers, I'd be around a table of people who'd be cursing Nixon and Kissinger and saying things that some people would say were anti-American, but we would say were, as you said earlier, I love my country so much I dare to say when it's wrong because I want to make it right. God forbid at the same table you should disagree with the policies of Israel. If you disagreed with the policies of Israel, you were some sort of a heretic, you were anti-Israel by definition and by association anti-Semitic if you said something anti-Israel.
You know, listen, it's a load of bullcrap to believe that any country could be right 100% of the time. It's just stupid. It doesn't make any sense. And the idea that you should be called a name like I should be called Osama bin Randy or I should be called Randy Hussein or Tokyo Rhodes. And now, why don't you just call me the N-word?
The thing I'm most worried about right now is that with all the things that are happening in the Middle East, that Americans are just completely taking their eye off Afghanistan as ever having been an important issue.
Right. I mean, where's the talk about Al-Qaeda? Or Al-Qaeda. I mean, we haven't even agreed on how to pronounce the name of the terrorist that attacked us. And most Americans don't even understand that those hijackers came from Saudi Arabia, baby. That's where they came from. Financed by our friends at the United Arab Emirates. I don't get it. They were Yemenis, and one of them was a Yemeni, one was a UAE. Two of them were from the UAE, and 15 of them were from Saudi Arabia. They were Wahhabists. They were Wahhabi fundamentalist Islamists. They weren't Sunni. They weren't Shia. In fact, Saudi Arabia is Sunni. If you had to identify the national religion, they're Sunni. But this Wahhabist stuff is kind of like this weird brand of charismatic end-timer Armageddonist Christian that we have in this country. It's a tiny little sliver of the population. I am not going to be identified by those people. Either the Wahhabist fundamentalists or the charismatic rapture right. It's got nothing to do with America or what we stand for and believe in or what is right and good about this country. What's right and good about this country is not fundamentalist religion. What's right and good about Israel is not fundamentalist religion. It was a belief in democracy and freedom to be. Freedom to be whatever. To be a religious person, an irreligious person, but freedom to be that. Now all of a sudden, we got a brand of everything. We have one brand of Judaism that's not even, and you want to get into the nitty gritty, labor Zionism, bad. Likud Zionism, good. That's how the hair splitting's going. I'm not going to be part of that, and you can call me any name you want to. Because what's going on here is not safe for America, and it's not safe for Israel. It's going to increase the amount of hatred towards these two countries to a degree that you, when it all, listen, it's just like when I was arguing against invading Iraq, and I said to you, this, no good will come of this. No good can come of this. You will open up the gates of hell and destabilize the Middle East. You're going to see a culture of death like you never saw before. You're going to see terrorists in Iraq where you never saw terrorists there before. And people, after Bush went on the Abraham Lincoln, these same sicko callers from the same area. It's all from Florida. Can you believe that? I mean, I really did work there. At that, I'm still on that station. That's my home station. I just did a homecoming. I just went back there. It's an unbelievable divided place. And the show was always number one because I was never afraid. Never. And we debated, and we, all right, people always, when they didn't have their crap together, they always called me names. Always. And back then it was Randy Bin Laden. Yeah, and Tokyo Rhodes, that was a big one too. Because I said Iraq had done nothing to us, and they said, he's a terrorist, he supports the terrorist bombings, he pays $25,000 to the Israelis, to the Palestinians to go and strap bombs on themselves. That was the terrorist connection for them. Because that's the prism through which they see all politics. I'm used to this. They were wrong then, and they're wrong now. And everything that I told them would happen, and they said, you're a liar, you're this, you're that. They called me an anti-Semite then, too. I said, you'll see, you'll see. And now they see what's happened in Iraq, and they know that everything I ever told them, and everything I ever told them to read about the pre-planning, about the documents, about the conspiracy between the ultra-right in Israel and the ultra-right in America was going to bring absolute death, a culture of death. A genocide would have to occur in Iraq. And even then it would turn into a civil war with a real-time battleground training facility for terrorists. And they told me I was making it up. And now it is exactly that, and they're still calling me names. Some people, it's just weird. Some people will always, always, always be followers. They will never be leaders. They don't know how to be a leader. They don't have any ability to think on their own. So they glom on to whatever seems to be the loudest voice in the room, or the most militant voice in the room, or the most, let's say, authoritarian voice in the room. And they are lemmings, and they just follow that person over the freaking cliff. Listen, the reason why I'm saying these things is for the preservation of the great democracies of this planet, which are slowly but surely being just blown out of existence. The hatred for them is so unbelievably high in the world. These neocons, these sicko people have got complete and utter control of two of the most powerful armies on the planet, and they want to enrich themselves. What's going on in Lebanon is a proxy war. What went on in Iraq was a proxy war, too. It was all based on lies, and it benefits a very few people. And a lot of death has ensued, and nothing good has come from it, and nothing good can. 49 after.
The Randy Rhoads Show, proving that if you tell the truth, you don't need OxyContin to face the day.
I am in fact sedated.
This is Air America Radio.
A liberal dose of the truth.
I was in the water before I knew what happened. I reached up to stop in or two from going overboard. The next thing I knew, I was overboard too. Watching my boat, there was nothing I could do to avoid being hit. The first time the propeller cut through my back. The second time, it cut my hand and arm. A moment of operator inattention, a lifetime of can't forget. Because I survived, I can tell you how important it is to be responsible on your boat. Visit BoatSmarter.com and remember, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
The fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
After Rocco in Rosendale?
Yeah, Rosendale.
Where's Rosendale?
Between New Paltz and Kingston.
Oh, you're way up there in New York.
Nah,
okay.
Not that far. Hey, you know, it seems like you got a bunch of Egyptians calling into the show.
Egyptians?
Like the last guy who called in a little while ago says that it's not, it wasn't genocide. He's an Egyptian because he's living in denial.
Ah.
We got a lot of people in the United
States. That was a long way to go for a lousy, lousy job. Yeah, no, he is in denial. There's no doubt. I mean, look, you look at the definition of genocide in the dictionary, and it says, you know, if you go and destroy an entire population based on its nationality, its religion, or its politics, you're committing genocide.
Right.
And that's exactly what America did.
Why are we going after the people in Saudi Arabia? You know, you keep asking people that. They don't want to hear it, you know?
Well, most people don't understand that the Bushes and the House of Saud are in it together. Now, today when I was reading King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia was telling the Saudis, can't find this in America, but you read the Irish Examiner. He's sitting there screaming about, you know, the United States and the Israeli arrogance, and if we don't stop them, then who will? And the exact quote is, if the option of peace fails as a result of Israeli arrogance, then the only option remaining will be war, and God alone knows what the region could witness in a conflict that would spare no one. Yet he goes to the Bush Ranch, and they sit on the couch together and hold hands.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Certainly is.
Two faces. Jackie on Long Island.
Yes. Hi, Randy. I just wanted to mention one thing. That the caller who said genes has to do with genocide is incorrect. The etymology of the word genocide comes from genus, which means race or kind, and chide, or side, which means killing. So it is. You were correct. It is the killing of a race or killing of a kind of people.
Yeah, and it could
That's
be,
it.
And the common link could be their nationality.
That's right.
Could be their political persuasion.
That's
could
right.
be the color of their skin. Could be their religion.
It doesn't come from genes.
No, it doesn't come from genes.
Okay.
But
that,
are you Greek?
No, I'm Italian, but I'm a language teacher.
Grammarian and all that. Okay, you must love me.
I do. I think you're great. I think you're fantastic.
Well, grammarians have typically hated me because I do butcher it quite frequently, but I try not to. Thank you.
Well, you're doing a great job. Thanks.
Thank you, Jackie.
Bye.
Bye. Mark in San Francisco.
Hey, Randy, first-time caller. Before you had a rabbi, now you got a priest.
You're a priest. Wow.
Thank you.
I just popped a priest and a rabbi.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to hell.
No, you are not, because you speak the truth, and besides passion, you back it up with discipline and study and reason, and you are just fresh air. Thanks so much. And thanks for having the courage to talk about Israel in a calm way and to worship a country, whether it's the U.S. or Israel, Canada, is idolatry for at least a religious person. And not to critique it is absolutely irresponsible.
This has nothing to do with the people of any of these nations. It doesn't have to do with Americans. It doesn't have to do with Israelis. Hezbollah doesn't have to do with the Lebanese civilians. This is the elite.
At the Crest, Amy Sedaris in Strangers with Candy and the Beauty Academy of Kabul. Opening Friday, July 28th, The War Tapes. For times and information, visit thecrest.com.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
A UN post takes a direct hit in the continuing Mideast violence.
It appears that it was a deliberate targeting by the Israeli Defense Forces.
And tackling the violence in another Mideast hotspot.
He and General Casey have agreed to deploy additional American troops and Iraqi security personnel in Baghdad in the coming weeks.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. Casualties in today's Mideast violence. Four UN workers killed when their outpost was hit by Israeli warplanes. CBS News reporter Vicky Barker is in Beirut with the latest.
An aerial bomb, apparently from the Israeli side, directly hit this building and shelter of an Indian patrol base from the UNIFIL Observer Force. This was in the town of Qiyam, which is near the eastern end of the border with Israel. This was not an isolated incident. The UN has said that there were 14 other incidents of firing close to this position from the Israeli side on Tuesday afternoon. And they say that the firing continued even as rescuers were trying to reach this ruined building.
UN Secretary General Kofi Annan wants an investigation. He says Israel appears to have struck the building deliberately. In northern Israel, the Hezbollah rockets rain down again today.
I'm Robert Berger in Haifa, where an eight-story apartment building has taken a direct hit by a rocket. I can see a big hole that was blown in the lower part of the building. That's the sound of police ordering onlookers to step away. All the windows were blown out in this building, the shutters. And the ground here is full of broken glass.
The U.S. is concerned about an unknown number of Americans stranded in South Lebanon. They need transportation to evacuation points. State Department spokesman Tom Casey.
The situation is very difficult. We have, as you know, run some bus convoys
And use some other means available to help them get out.
As many as 15,000 Americans have been evacuated. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice traveled to Rome for a meeting on the Mideast. Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv.
In her talks here in Israel and in the Palestinian West Bank, no perceptible change. Rice said she wants
an urgent but enduring ceasefire,
which is different from a ceasefire now, but that's what Arab delegations at a conference on Lebanon are to demand, putting pressure on Rice in Rome, Italy tomorrow. She will try to get the foreign ministers, also from Canada, Russia, Germany, Italy, France, Turkey, and other countries, to focus on setting up a peacekeeping force for southern Lebanon. When that's been agreed, with Lebanon agreeing to get Hezbollah away from the border with Israel, then Rice will work toward a ceasefire. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Now this.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
President Bush met at the White House today with Iraq's prime minister, and security in Baghdad was at the top of their agenda. Here's CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
More U.S. troops will move to the chaotic Iraqi capital from other parts of the country.
Obviously, the violence in Baghdad is still terrible.
The major strategy change confirms the security plan President Bush praised when he visited Iraq 5 weeks ago has failed.
Our military commanders tell me that this deployment will better reflect the current conditions on the ground in Iraq.
The move is aimed at curtailing sectarian violence that could fuel a worst-case scenario acknowledged by the Iraqi leader.
God willing, there will be no civil war in Iraq.
Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
The heat wave in California may have claimed more than 30 lives. Officials today issued the third stage one power emergency since Saturday.
We are very closely watching this heat wave. This has been a heat wave unlike any other we can remember.
Tracy Bibb with the Independent System Operator. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
CompUSA email bag.
Lisa emails Dirk.
Time now for
the odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply, sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all. Sick on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete disorder is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
People that have to be really, really happy about all this news about a war is the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight. Yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Good afternoon. Lisa West here for AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, on the look at the traffic. It looks like 50 over top of the mountain is going pretty slow. And a northbound Fruit Ridge Road and right before Cal Expo, we have about a 5 to 10 minute wait. Traffic hazards on the right-hand side. Well, it's 113 degrees. Lows tonight right around 82.
African American. Who had changed
on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Somebody like Lou Alcindor. The great basketball player who changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It was that type of circumstance. And he was taking a pic. Suing it.
sounds like an Inhofe bill to me.
Republicans are in real danger of losing control of Congress. And they know it. So watch as they race to make laws that you will not believe before the midterm. But we will be here. We will be here to provide you with the truth. And we will always be doing what we do right now, and that is talking truth to power. Taylor, Sacramento, California. How are you? You're welcome to the Majority Report on the Air America Radio Network. You're on with John Elliott. Happy Tuesday.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I just want to make a comment regarding the abortion issue and the right for the young women or whatever to go across state lines, whoever's taking them.
Be nervous. You're a first-time caller. I love first-time callers, you know, because they're always fresh, and don't be nervous at all. Forget about the fact that there are millions of people all over the world listening to you.
That's evil.
I know. Taylor, it's just you and me talking. Okay, so I'm bearing with you.
Okay, sure. And I so believe that all of the things that you're saying, these Republicans are just going crazy. But in regards to the abortions, with the availability of birth control, I mean, almost everywhere, I just, in this time, day and age, with the exception of rape or molestation, I don't understand why these women get themselves in a position or situation to where they become pregnant, where they have to take that option either to abort or not.
Maybe
I mean,
it's
you know what I'm
accident.
Saying? I mean,
yeah, maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's incest. Maybe it's...
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I said, if there's the situation with the incest, you know, being raped, I mean, that's no fun to anyone, or being forced to do anything, or you're too young. But I'm just saying, there should be some tighter controls, and if women or young women or whatever are wanting to become promiscuous, they really should take those precautions so they don't have to worry what happens if.
Well,
you know, because
I don't think
they can live with themselves.
Well, there's a definition of making love and showing passion to one's mate as opposed to being promiscuous, and accidents do happen. And yes, people take birth control pills. Our daughter is 33 years of age, and my wife was on a birth control pill at the time, and miraculously, she gave birth. It was one of those little weird things that she was taking an antibiotic at the time, and it actually worked against it, and we didn't know that, and they didn't tell us. Not that we would change a thing, but we were expected that we weren't ready at that particular point in time, but we're delighted that we have a bouncing baby girl who's now 33, who has two of her own. Oh, I just felt old. Taylor, thanks a million for the call. I really appreciate it. Wendy, we're going to get to your call when we get back. If you'd like to speak with us, 866-303-2270. We have too much show coming on. All sorts of stuff we need to get to. be right back on the Majority Report.
Are you a Republican, a conservative, a dumbass? Give Janine and Sam a call at 866-303-2270. The Majority Report. Ranting and raving is what we're all about.
You're listening to AM 1320.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
I believe the official sunscreen is now lead, isn't it, pretty much? Oh, my God, this heat. I was sweating like Naomi Campbell trying to hire a maid. It was so hot today. It was so hot in Hollywood today. Brad and Angelina adopted Ben and Jerry. Did you know? It was so hot in Encino. Michael Jackson actually stopped at the Young Boys lemonade stand and just bought the lemonade. You know the worst part about this heat wave across the country is Al Gore walking around going, I told you so. Actually, if Al Gore's movie on global warming is correct, as you know, the ice caps are shrinking. You all know about that. The glaciers are shrinking. The only thing not shrinking, Al Gore, apparently. Have you seen Al? Really not shrinking. I tell you, the heat, it puts people in a bad mood. You know, in fact, coming into work today, people were swearing like President Bush near an open mic. It was unbelievable.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Hey, guys.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
You're watching the new conservative Republican on PBS, now known as GOP BS. Barney will not be seen today. We all know that dinosaurs never existed and are simply the product of liberal atheists looking to discredit creationism. Later tonight, join us for an all-new edition of Master Race Theater. Along with a groundbreaking new biographical series, Joe McCarthy, American Patriot. And our latest version of Scientific American.
The Majority Report is taking some time off. Sitting in for Dan Seder, John Elliott, the most dangerous liberal in America.
Welcome back to the Majority Report, coast to coast in America, on the Air America Radio Network. Thank you for taking a few minutes of your time and dropping in with us. We hope to keep you with us for the whole 3 hours. And you will not believe how fast these 3 hours go. Boom, just zoom. God, the show's over? Yeah, it was so good. Wow. That was nice. Man, the show's over. If you'd like to go on our chat room, johntalk.com, J-O-N-T-A-L-K, www.johntalk.com, and hit on chat, and you can be part of the festivities there as they continue to go back and forth. And we monitor them, so we have ways. And, you know, the NSA is helping us out, finding out. We know who you are. We know where you live. We know what you're thinking. But we just don't know how to write your name on a check so we could take all your money. But we're working on it. You know, we were talking a little bit about abortion before we went into the break, and the lady was expressing sort of a surprise as to how people can get pregnant. Yeah, if you look at a lot of the religious right, of course, they won't let their kids take birth control pills because they're on an abstinence-only program. And, of course, in a moment in the backseat of the drive-in theater and maybe, you know, when you're playing video games and maybe when mom and dad aren't there and the popcorn's empty and the next thing you know, bada-bing. And, you know, maybe passion comes in and then you rush out to get RU-487, but you go to a Walmart and they say, I'm sorry. We can't give you that because that's the morning after pill, and we consider that to be an abortion pill. Even the medical science has said, I don't think so. So the other thing you have to take into account is that birth control is not readily available to everybody. You know, I mean, if you had a gigantic condom, there wouldn't have been a Tom delay. There's a cause for birth control right there. Wendy, Sumner, New York, you're on the Majority Report with John Elliott. How are you?
Yeah, hi. I'm fine. Directly related to what that woman had said. A lot of the insurance companies are no longer picking up the price for birth control pills, which are very expensive. And I know that my daughter was in college, and she was taking four sciences, and I made her stop working her part-time job, and I paid for her birth control pills.
Of course, being a responsible mother.
Because I could. But
well, because you could, and because you know you need to.
Yeah, and what, you know, what am I going to do? Let her get pregnant? But a lot of children are not in that particular situation, and people have to understand that people don't get pregnant because they want to be pregnant. They get pregnant because of circumstances, like you had said, incest, or they can't afford the pills. And things like that. So you can't really blame the girl.
Thanks, Wendy. I agree. Thanks very much. Catherine in Manhattan, New York. How are you? Welcome to the Majority Report. You're on the air. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. It's a similar comment on the previous caller. It's really a shame that there are still women out there like her that buy into this idea that the woman is promiscuous if they have sex.
And oh, yes.
It's always shocking to me when I hear it. I think she was probably genuine and not someone making up that kind of rhetoric.
No, I think she was absolutely genuine. But
yeah.
You know, I had this conversation with my daughter when she was going off to college. I said, remember, here's the way it works. This is the difference between boys and girls. When boys sleep around, they're studs.
Yep.
When girls sleep around, they're trash, they're whores.
Yeah.
You know, they're promiscuous. So as long as you have that in mind, and as long as you understand that, be careful out there.
Yeah, there's another aspect to it, too, which is that people always forget, because we get, particularly when I hear a woman get caught up in that idea, is it's about the law. And there's one way to differentiate in the law between men and women, and it's about power. And how do you keep women, who are the majority in this country, down, you differentiate them legally by what they can do, which is bear children. It has nothing to do with saving babies. It has they don't give a damn about a life. I mean, look at all their other policies. So anyone who's fooled into this rhetoric that has unfortunately been going on in certain parts of the country, I think, unless, I hate to say it, but less educated or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, it is a function of education. I'm going to have to run right now. I've got to take a break at the bottom of the hour. Catherine, thanks so much for your call. You're absolutely right. You can't blame the woman. It is always a function of who's, you know, I was going to say something I was going to regret. I won't. I'll come back with Marge Cohen, one of the great legal minds in this country, on the Majority Report on the Air America Radio Network. Don't miss this.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio. A liberal dose of the truth.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Elliott.
Welcome back. The Majority Report on the Air America Radio Network, all over the country and all over the world, and who knows where else. This is a special guest. This is a lady I've had the privilege of having on my show before. She hosted a panel at Democracy Fest out here in San Diego, and we were running different tracks, so we never saw each other, never bumped into each other. She's a law professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She's also president-elect of the National Lawyers Guild. Marge Cohen, welcome to the Majority Report. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm fine. I've got a couple of things I want to talk to you about, and I can't think of a better person to go to than you on this. The American Bar Association came out with a report on the weekend, a rather extensive report, a bipartisan member, a member of panel of the Bar Association came out, and they basically said that President Bush, through his signing statements, was flouting the Constitution and undermining the rule of law, mainly by claiming the power to disregard selected portions of bills that he signed. Weigh in on that for me, will you?
Signing statements are basically announcements made by the president that provide the president's interpretation of the language of a particular law. And, for example, Jimmy Carter used a signing statement when he signed the now famous FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, where he said the act helps to solidify the relationship of trust between the American people and their government. So
funny
that
you should
kind
pick
of
that.
Signing statement contributes to accountability. But that's
funny you should pick that because that's where I'm going to go when I finish talking to you about this this ABA thing. And we should tell our listeners that the members of this panel were very distinguished jurists. I mean, we had the dean of Yale Law School and the former dean of Stanford Law School, and William Sessions, former director of the FBI, a Republican former congressman of Oklahoma, and a Justice Department official in the Reagan administration, to name a few. They came down pretty strongly. They said, he's used it far more than his predecessors, which we know. Now, they will say he's used it really only on 100 laws, but he's used it 800 times on those laws, as we know. And, there's a line item veto in effect, isn't it?
It is, and in fact, the Supreme Court has held the line item veto to be unconstitutional. If a president does not want to sign a bill, if he thinks it's unconstitutional, he should veto it, give his reasons, and then the Congress can override the veto. But Bush makes a big hoopla, signs the bill, and then secretly attaches these signing statements saying, I didn't really mean it, my fingers are crossed, we're going to reserve the right to torture prisoners if we want. Bush has used these signing statements 800 times, and all the presidents put together before Bush used them a total of 600 times. So you can see how Bush is really overreaching here. Let me just give you a couple of examples of signing statements that Bush has used. First, he used them on congressional laws to report back to Congress on the use of the Patriot Act to secretly search homes and seize private papers. He said, no, we don't have to report back to Congress in his signing statement.
The government can just go ahead and pursue this. Of course, this is all at the behest of the people, because we have to keep the people free. I mean, he's protecting them from terror.
Well, that's what he says, but he should say that and veto the law if he thinks it's unconstitutional. The Constitution is very clear. It gives Congress the power to write laws, and the president can veto the laws, but the president cannot interpret the laws. It's not in the Constitution. Perhaps the most controversial was the McCain Amendment forbidding any U.S. official from using torture or cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment on prisoners. Well, Bush says that I'm commander-in-chief, and I can waive that requirement if I want. There's another one.
But he does this, and nobody knows it, though, right, Marge?
I mean, nobody knows it, and most of the time, until quite recently, very few members of Congress and even fewer members of the public were aware that the president had even taken these actions, and he's done it over and over and over.
Now let's review this McCain one. If we recall and take our listeners down the road here, McCain came out and said, enough of this torture, enough of this Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, we're Americans, we don't do that, we shouldn't do that, and we're not going to do that. And then we had Cheney actually lobbying with McCain and lobbying McCain to say, no, 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 we want that part out. And then we had Bush threatening to veto it. And there was a huge hue and outcry that they said, let me see if I got this right. Your first presidential veto is going to be on torture? And the Congress is going to pass a bill saying enough of this Abu Ghraib stuff, enough of this Guantanamo. We're going to prevent our troops from torturing people, torturing prisoners. And you're actually going to say that's okay? So, of course, they backed off on this. And this was the media picture, right? They backed off on this. McCain's the champion on the white horse. He gets it through because all Americans are in favor of this. Well, most Americans that I know are in favor of this. And behind his back, he said, okay, fine, I'll just go ahead and ace this out. Because I then started to read reports that military lawyers, the JAGs, in Guantanamo were being trumped by Bush's lawyers at the White House. Not the Justice Department, but Bush's lawyers at the White House. And I thought, wait a minute, how did that happen? And I could never really get an answer to that from anybody, but this is clearly the answer. He said, okay, he bowed to the supposed pressure. He wouldn't use his veto because that would create a firestorm of criticism around the world, and he did it anyway, didn't he?
He did. Cheney wanted an exception for the CIA to allow them to torture. But you know what the Supreme Court told us in the Hamdan case, the Guantanamo Military Commission's case, is that Geneva Conventions require humane treatment of all prisoners, not just prisoners of war. And that's because of Common Article 3 to the Geneva Conventions. And violations of Common Article 3 to the Geneva Conventions constitute war crimes under our Federal War Crimes Act, which means that Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld could be tried as war criminals for engaging in torture or even cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment.
In our own country, under our own laws.
That's true. Under our own law, under our own anti-torture statute, our anti-war crime statute. You know, what Congress was doing with this McCain amendment was just codifying what our law already is, just in case anybody wasn't clear. And here is Bush not only refusing to obey our laws and saying, I don't have to treat prisoners humanely because I'm going to suspend the Geneva Conventions for the first time in the history of this country. A president suspends the Geneva Conventions because...
Yeah, and Torture Boy Gonzalez referred to it as quaint.
Right.
Yeah.
Alberto and the other legal eagles who redefine torture, people like John Yoo and people who now sit on the federal bench. But then Bush attaches this signing statement to the McCain amendment saying, I don't really mean it. I'm the commander-in-chief. I don't have to obey the law. And, you know, the interesting thing, John, is that even Arlen Specter, who often appears to be independent from Bush, but bottom line, he salutes and marches. He'll throw softballs to Bush nominees. He will go along with Bush. But he now has come out and said that he is going to submit legislation in the Senate that will authorize Congress to undertake judicial review of these signing statements, he said, with the view to having the president's acts declared unconstitutional. That's Arlen Specter. That's really something. Now, if he really sticks to that, that's significant. Barney Frank in the House of Representatives has already introduced a bill to have these signing statements declared unconstitutional. But this ABA report that you talked about, which had some real conservatives on this panel.
Yeah,
came out and said this is a real serious threat to the doctrine of separation of powers, the way Bush has used these signing statements, and they are recommending to the entire ABA convention, which will meet next month, that the ABA oppose signing statements and that a president who thinks that a pending bill is unconstitutional has to tell Congress that openly and that Congress can enact legislation enabling the court, basically the Supreme Court, to decide whether signing statements are constitutional or not. This is very, very significant.
We're talking with Thomas Jefferson School of Law Law Professor Marge Cohen. More legal troubles at Guantanamo. You brought up the case of the Hamdan case, which had that landmark ruling for the Republicans led Supreme Court that said that he had gone too far and he really couldn't do the type of legal brinksmanship that he was playing. Now we find out that he met with his lawyer, that Hamdan's met with his lawyer after this, after winning this victory in the Supreme Court. He took notes, and then after the meeting, the notes were confiscated.
Well, you know, what Bush tried to do when he set up these military commissions was to deny basic due process rights to people who were charged with crimes. And that means trying them in a secret proceeding with evidence they don't even see, evidence that's even obtained by coercion, and they can be given the death penalty with no...
And they're not allowed to... And they can't face their accusers, and they can't subpoena anything, or they can't bring in witnesses and whatnot, right?
Well, they can unless the judge, who's usually a military judge, says, well, this is confidential or this is classified. But what the what Congress is now dealing with is what the Supreme Court meant when it said that these military commissions violated the Uniform Code of Military Justice and the Geneva Conventions. And they are the conservatives in Congress are trying to get Bush, basically everything Bush wanted, you know, kind of sugar-coated to go through. And others are saying, even John Warner, who's a conservative, is saying, wait a minute, we don't want to be reversed again by the Supreme Court. We better be careful about this. And some of the former military people, like Lindsey Graham, who's also a conservative, is saying, look, the Uniform Code of Military Justice provides basic due process, and that's what we should be using. So that's what they're struggling with right now. It's very political. And meanwhile, they're trying to railroad Mr. Hamdan. And, you know, regardless of whether somebody was, you know, Osama bin Laden's bodyguard or driver or whoever, whatever it was, no matter how heinous that person, they are entitled to certain basic due process. That's what our system is all about, and that's why our system is supposed to be different from other systems.
That's a civilized society. I mean, we gave Jeffrey Dahmer, we gave Ted Bundy, we gave Timothy McVeigh, the Washington snipers. Even though everybody was pretty well convinced that these people were guilty, they did get the best legal defense that we could afford to pay for them, because we obviously did. And that is the way that our society is built. And, you know, clearly to me, what Bush is trying to do is establish this doctrine known as the unitary executive, of which he can do what he wants. And you, as the panel said, the ABA panel said, that these signing statements, he was basically using them systematically as a strategic weapon.
You know, it's interesting because Clinton used a few signing statements, and he would ask the Office of Legal Counsel in the Department of Justice for a memorandum about his authority to challenge or reject certain controversial provisions. Well, George W. Bush roots all these bills through, guess who? Vice President Cheney's office, to be searched for perceived threats to this unitary executive, which is basically says that anything in the executive branch goes through Bush. It's something that Alito tried to push when he was in the Reagan administration. It's a very right-wing document, and it's one that basically gives Bush, we might as well call him King George, because it just does away completely with the separation of powers.
That's a real good example of us coming full circle, because the whole Declaration of Constitution and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Revolutionary War was because of the last King George, you know?
Absolutely.
I know we're going to have to take a break. I appreciate you being with us, but I have a very quick question. And that is, one of the times we talked before, we talked about the NSA wiretapping, and you talk about the unitary executive. Now, Bush is out there threatening, and he basically thwarted a probe into the wiretapping by denying surveillance security clearance to the Department of Justice investigators. What the hell?
Well, it's true, you know, and I'll tell you something else, John. In the Hamdan case, the Bush administration made the argument that when Congress authorized the use of military force against Afghanistan the day after September 11th, that also gave Bush the power to create these kangaroo courts, these military commissions, these watered-down military tribunals.
Right.
And the Supreme Court didn't buy that argument. And that's the same argument that Gonzales and Bush used when they said, look, we don't have to follow FISA, because Congress, when it authorized the use of military force on September 12th, implicitly allowed us to secretly spy on Americans without a warrant. This Hamdan case is going to defeat that argument as well in the NSA case.
Thanks a million, Marge. Marge Cohen, law professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law and also president-elect of the National Lawyers Guild. It's always great to talk to you, Marge. Thanks a million for your time.
My pleasure, John.
It's the Majority Report. I'm John Elliott. We're Air America, and you are you, and you're going to be right back with us as soon as we come back after these words. Don't go away.
You're listening to Sam Cedar and Janine Garofalo on the Majority Report, the world's most majoritized radio.
It's Enid Live, weekday after...
state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation, and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan, without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
I'll get into this in this next hour that talked about a black baby in Texas that was taken off life support and subsequently died while President Bush was governor. I have some news for you on that, and I'm going to get into that in the next hour. Janice, how are you? Welcome to the Majority Report. You're on.
Hi, I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. I'm just calling to say I just got out of an inconvenient trip that I went on. With my 13-year-old daughter and 11-year-old son, and we thought it was great, and it inspired me to go home and email my middle school daughter's science teacher and suggest showing the movie as a part of their curriculum next year.
Don't you think everybody should see this film? I mean, don't you think everybody should see it?
I totally do, and I think, you know, part of Gore's message was to educate people one person at a time, and, you know, the best thing you can do is start with the young people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Janice. Thanks for the call. I have to tell you that apparently somebody that didn't particularly like that film was the senator from Oklahoma, Jim Inhofe, who, if you take a poll of people in Washington, he is categorically the stupidest lawmaker in the country. There is nobody that matches this guy for being in the shallow end of the brain pool when they were doled out. Oh, my God. He actually compared The Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's film, to Mein Kampf. I think he probably thinks Mein Kampf is a summer resort up near Waskego, Wisconsin. Sue, Cambridge, Wisconsin, how are you? Welcome to the Majority Report.
Okay. I'm doing all right, but not doing all right. I've got a lot of issues with where we're going in all directions.
Let's talk about it. What's bothering you the most?
What's bothering me the most, I think, right now is that the oil grab and the destabilization of the Mideast, which I saw coming 9 years ago, even at the end of Clinton when everything was going okay, and then when Bush came in. And I travel a distance, a long distance, for work, and nothing is being spent, nothing is even being done in our progressive state, and we have Russ Feingold, about light rail system.
Let me ask you a question. How much did you spend on gas a week? I've only got about 30 seconds, so just if you can give me a quick answer to this. What are you spending on gas now in the sixth year of Bush's presidency versus the last year of Clinton's? What's the difference?
Oh, my God. It has gone from $17 to fill my tank up to $40.
That's a bunch. Can you call back in the next hour?
Yeah.
I've got to take a break right now. We've got news and all sorts of good stuff. It's the Air America Radio Network. It's the Majority Report. I'm John Elliott. We'll be back with lots.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC,
Sacramento.
Sacramento's left channel, because you deserve the truth.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Among the latest victims of the violence in the Middle East, UN observers, their post along the Israeli border hit by an Israeli bomb.
At this point, there are two UN military observers who were killed, and we fear that there are two more that might be dead as well.
And UN Secretary General Kofi Annan wants an investigation. Brendan Varma is a UN spokesman.
The fire came from Israeli Defense Forces, and Prime Minister Ehud Olmert of Israel had given his personal assurances to the Secretary General that no fire from Israel would be directed towards the UN post.
In fact, the post was hit several times today. Hezbollah's leader, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, was shown on Lebanese television. He said Hezbollah will now start firing rockets deeper into Israel. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has arrived in Rome, where CBS News reporter Sabina Castelfranco has a preview of the upcoming Mideast conference.
A strict security plan is in place for the one-day Middle East meeting co-chaired by Italy and the United States at the Foreign Ministry in Rome. Those attending the conference include the U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and the U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, as well as ministers and top representatives from 18 nations and international organizations.
The U.S. is concerned about some Americans trapped in southern Lebanon with no way to get out. CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan met some of them in the town of Tyre.
Relentless is no cliche when it comes to Israel's assaults across the border. It's hard to imagine what's left to hit. We counted at least a dozen explosions every minute at one point. Still, at least 200 people managed to drive right through it, one after the other, limping into our compound all day and late into the evening, looking for safety and a way home. Turns out, They were all Americans.
The State Department says it is in contact with a number of Americans and looking at ways to get them out. President Bush met at the White House today with a visiting Iraqi prime minister. Mr. Bush said more troops will be moved to Baghdad from other areas of Iraq because of the upsurge in violence there.
This plan will involve embedding more U.S. military police with Iraqi police units to make them more effective.
The Iraqi prime minister said he hopes his country does not dissolve into civil war. Triple-digit temperatures are still baking California.
The heat is definitely on here in California, with officials who run the California power grid issuing a stage one alert. That means they're asking consumers to voluntarily conserve to avoid a blackout.
CBS News correspondent Jerry Bowen, more than 30 deaths may be related to the heat, and 1.5 million people have lost power at some point since the heat wave began. The Senate has just passed a bill making it a crime to take a pregnant girl across state lines for an abortion without her parents' knowledge. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 52 points at 11,103, and the NASDAQ was higher by 12. This is CBS News.
CompUSA email bag.
Steve emails, Dear CompUSA, got any killer back-to-school deals? Steve, we've got hundreds of killer deals, including $300 off a Toshiba laptop with Intel Core Duo processor and Microsoft Media Center Edition. $300 off! That puts it under $700 after savings and rebate. Our lowest price ever. This and other great deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA's back-to-school sale. We got it? We get it. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marley, driver of the number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet.
And I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management car.
You know, we're just two drivers of a team of 30,000.
That's because our team at Waste Management has drivers and pit crews all over the country.
So if you're revved up for a new career, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS.
Call now and get it in gear.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
Researchers now have an explanation for why Lance Armstrong and many other testicular cancer victims recover from tumors that have spread throughout their bodies.
What kept Lance Armstrong's wheels turning after he conquered cancer?
My desire to tell the story and to show that it's possible is most of my ambition.
And what made his recovery possible? A novel explanation in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Testicular cancer originates in a cooler area of the body, and when it moves and heats up, it's more easily treated. Skeptics, including Armstrong's Dr. Scoff, but Johns Hopkins Dr. Robert Getzenberg defends the theory.
There are a number of studies in cell models and in animal models that by warming tumors, we can make them much more treatable.
Next, he says, developing ways to target tumors with heat. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The number of illegal immigrants caught trying to sneak into this country has reportedly dropped since President Bush ordered the National Guard to the border. Officials say fewer people are attempting to cross over. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Okay.
This is a test of...
America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki was at the White House meeting with President Bush. Apparently he wanted to look into Bush's eyes this time. And to thank Bush for killing al-Zarqawi, because things have gone so much better since, haven't they? Over 100 Iraqis a day are being killed. Over 3,000 in June alone. You know, I looked at a headline in the Los Angeles Times last week, in Iraq, civil war all but declared. Headline in the New York Times last week, Iraqi death toll rises above 100 per day, UN says. So much better since al-Zarqawi's no longer there. Of course, the president and the prime minister have a few differences. Bush wants Israel to keep bombing Lebanon. The prime minister wants the bombing to stop. Hezbollah are Shia. Iran? Oh, they're Shia. And Maliki? Guess. Yeah. He's Shia, too. So, it's the Iranians and the Iraqis supporting the Lebanese, or
Is it the Shias supporting the Shias supporting the Shias? Because if it's the latter, then we're seeing the first clear sign that the Iraqis in the south, the party that is in control of Iraq, is now going to follow Iran. And isn't that special? Thank you, George W. Bush. You did a heck of a job, Bushy.
And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Dateline Washington, Michael the Skull Chertoff's Department of Homeland Security that did such a bang-up job during and after Hurricane Katrina has made an announcement. Ravaged with criticism for its genocidal permissiveness in its handling of Katrina victims, after much studying and research and after incurring costs of God knows how much, the Department of Homeland Security has finally come up with a solution, a single solution that will make a difference the next time. The single biggest change in the Department of Homeland Security's modus operandi to improve its ability to handle future catastrophic occurrences is... May I have a drum roll, please? Thank you. It is... Wait, wait. This is too big an announcement to just have a drum roll. We need a fanfare. Can I have a fanfare, please? Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, announcing the Skull Chertoff's excellent plan to deal with future emergencies. Cut the amount of disaster relief given to individuals to $500. That's it. I'm not kidding. It used to be $2,000. But after extraordinary due diligence, the Skull Chertoff has determined that the Department of Homeland Security will be better able to handle the next big humanitarian crisis if they only give $500 to people instead of $2,000. That's it. See, that was the problem with Department of Homeland Security and Katrina. Black people had too much money. They lost their homes, their clothes, their cars, their worldly possessions, their jobs, their schools, their families, their friends, and their churches. They had no money, no food, no clothes, no place to stay, no way of getting there if they did. And the Bush administration, and its still hopelessly in over its head pathetic leader, the Skull Chertoff, have determined that $2,000 is too much. $500 will do the trick. Who did their research? Barbara Bush? Remember her? If you forget what she looks like, look at the picture on a $1 bill. Remember she's sitting there and walking around the Houston Astrodome after Katrina? And she's looking at 10,000 refugees all sleeping on the floor in sleeping bags and says, quote, "This is working out pretty well for them." Noblesse oblige, ladies and gentlemen. Could it be clearer, the Bush's feeling between them and all of us? Yeah, this is probably working out pretty well for them. Before, they had a home and a car and a job and money and furniture. And now they have nothing, and they're lying there on the floor of the Houston Astrodome, not knowing what the hell is going to happen to them, with 10,000 of their newest friends. And this mad cow... There's mad cow disease in Texas. Just look at Barbara Bush. She says that this is working out pretty well for them. $500. That's what they want to give people. George Bush has had bar tabs bigger than that. When you think of it, that's only a day's supply of drugs for that little softy Rush Limbaugh. And that's without the Viagra. $500 to buy a week's supply of loofahs for Bill O'Reilly. 5 bow ties for Tucker Carlson. $500 isn't even enough for Karl Rove to enjoy an evening's entertainment with Jeff Gannon, Jim Guckert. Woo! And yet, it's now the panacea for all disaster relief. And they made this announcement just 1 month before the first anniversary of Homeland Security. Of Homeland Security's failure at Katrina. 1 year anniversary coming up next month. Has there ever, and I mean ever, been a group of people that are so unqualified for their positions? Look at the Department of Homeland Security. The Skull Chertoff ran it before, during, and after Katrina.
Threat level rainbow, if you could pull it up fast.
Is number one in charge? I mean, when you think that Chertoff actually had a number one, his number one in charge was downtown Mikey Brown, the fashion god.
When you got it.
The heck of a job brownie guy. And to think that the Skull was Bush's second choice behind Bernie Kerik, the corrupt cop. Bernie Kerik. Good Lord. The corrupt cop. Can you imagine the shape we would have been in if Bernie Kerik was actually in charge of Homeland Security at the time Katrina hit?
I mean, it would be so much better, wouldn't it? And of course, he was chosen to replace Tom Ridge, whose sole contribution to keeping America safer was the threat level rainbow.
Hey there, children.
Great job.
Johnny Walker here. This song is about the colors in the rainbow of the Homeland Security threat level system. The first color, green, means there's no threat of terror. And guess what? It's never been you.
Never, 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 never.
The next threat level is a general risk. So be generally afraid when it's blue. And then there's yellow, and that's elevated. So look for explosives in shoes.
All I get your green.
Orange is high, so buy plastic and duct tape. And red means we're all really screwed. Those are the colors in the threat level rainbow. They tell us what's happening outside. Rainbows are also in cereal boxes, or they give us a sense of gay pride. Perhaps someday we can look at a rainbow without feeling so afraid. When the storm cloud of terror is past us, rainbows will make us feel gay. La 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 la.
It's the Majority Report, John Elliott, Air America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Majority Report with Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
I know that.
On Air America Radio.
It's the Morning Retort with...
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 9- 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreeze.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Speak freely, small business owner.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Is taking some time off, sitting in for Dan Cedar, John Elliott, the most dangerous liberal in America.
Welcome back, Majority Report on the Air America Radio Network, Sioux, Cambridge, Wisconsin. We were talking to you before the break at the top of the hour. Thank you for being so patient and waiting. We were talking about how much you spent for gas pre-Bush and how much you're spending right now. And then there were some other things you were going to get to that are on your mind that are making you, shall we say, a tad disgruntled.
A tad, yes.
A tad. I've never met anybody who's gruntled, by the way. People just tend to be disgruntled, so.
No, I am extremely disgruntled, and I am extremely upset. That's putting it very mildly. Last year, I was in Holland, and everybody pussyfooted around the question of, why did you vote for Bush? Why is America voting for Bush? What happened to America? And they were all, I mean, I was there 2 days after VE Day in Amsterdam and in Holland, and have posters, pictures of posters where it said, stop Bush now, he's ruining the world. And this was before all of this latest conflagration.
One of the things that we're not really privy to in the mainstream media, they ignore this, is that around the world he is universally despised. And in the surveys that they've taken, bona fide polls taken around the world, the majority of people believe that the leading proponent of terrorism and is the president of the United States. I can remember 2 years ago, Scott Ritter said to me, and he will be on our program on Thursday, Scott said, you know, the biggest threat to world peace resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. When he's on, I'm going to remind him of that and see whether or not his feelings have changed over the last 2 years. But, yes, I have a great many friends, Americans, that travel internationally. And the reaction is, well, we don't really mean you, but what is wrong with all of you? You know,
right.
It comes across. And they're exempting the individual they're talking to at that one point in time. And you have to scratch your head and say, what has this guy done? You know, it all starts with the imperialism. It starts with the protectionism of America. It starts with the eliminating the Kyoto Accord, walking away from the Geneva Convention, establishing foreign torture clinics. You know, the Abu Ghraib thing, the invasion, the illegal attack on Iraq, the ignoring of diplomacy when it comes to North Korea and to Iran, the foreign policy that is in tatters and shatters. It's the foreign policy is a complete embarrassment. Well, then you look at the domestic policy, and there isn't none there either. Well, unless you're a Republican wealthy individual, you'll say the goal is to make corporations wealthier. He's done that, and the goal is to make individuals at the very, very top end of the income scale and the wealth scale, and to make them wealthier. And he's accomplished that. He's cut back on health care. He's cut back on the environment. I mean, if you're a miner, you're less safe today working in a mine than you were when Clinton ran the joint. I mean, God, what has this guy done? And then you sit there and say, somebody in Holland says, why did you vote for this guy? And you say, well, there's all the reasons.
You have no defense against it, because you say, I did not do that. The people did not do it. The election was stolen from us, and the Democratic Party rolled over on it and said, oh, okay.
You're absolutely right.
And we wanted the votes counted. I was screaming. You know, I have a older son, 36, who lives in Los Angeles, and he is to this day still obsessing over the election.
It's okay.
You know, the last election. He cannot let it go. He is so upset.
Well, you know, if he can channel that energy and into doing something to prevent it from happening the next time, like getting in touch with Secretary of State Bruce McPherson here in the state of California, asking him, hold him accountable as to why he said the Diebold machines were not viable, and all of a sudden they are, and their test results are questionable. Hey, Sue, thanks a million for the call. We'll keep fighting the good fight. We'll keep talking truth to power and be your proxy to do that. Jim, in Ohio, you're on the Majority Report with John Elliott. How are you?
Good evening, John.
Good evening, Jim.
I got two calls today. First one, it had private, and I ignored it, just up and down. And the second one, I said, oh, I wonder what's going on, private again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I took the call, and a young lady came on and said she was with the Terrence Group. I got that much out of the first call. And
the Terrence Group.
It's spelled T-A-R-R-A-N-C-E. And my opinion, it's a Republican polling group, and then I'll ask, tell you why I think that, and you give me your opinion if you think it is too. Okay. And it's the most astounding call I've ever got. Okay. I took the call. I said to her, what do you do? She said, we're a polling group. I said, political? She said, yes. I said, are you asking whether or not George Bush is doing a good job? Yeah, that question's on there. I said, sounds to me like this is Karl Rovian or Frank Luntz somewhere is hiding in the bushes. So she then, I then asked her, I said, well, let me ask you a question. Now, hey, this is going to blow your mind. I said, I got this off Randy Rhodes' show last week when Bush vetoed the stem cell research bill. A guy came on from upstate New York and said, let's see what the Republicans do if we lay a two-year-old baby in the road, a car ready to run over its head. I'm talking gruesome here, okay?
Yeah.
And on the other tire track, we're going to put a Petri dish with 200 blastocysts in it. And I said, now I'm going to ask you this question, lady. I said, my young lady, I said, I'm going to lay a two-year-old baby in front of a car, big truck, let's even call it a big truck, and in the other tire track, I'm going to put a Petri dish with 200 blastocysts in it. And which one are you going to go out and say before it runs over? Do you know what her answer was? Can you guess?
I can guess.
Boy, that's a hard question. I said, what? I said, this tells me this is a Republican poll. She's had to drink the damn Kool-Aid.
Their client list includes Senators Wayne Allard of Colorado, Thad Cochran of Mississippi, Larry Craig.
Is this Terrence you're talking about?
Yeah.
T-A-R-R-A-N-C-E.
Yeah.
Called twice. They're calling in Ohio now for the Ohio residents in Columbus and Cincinnati at all the
Air-American
stations.
They're polling for Mike DeWine, you know, your
okay,
Senator
gotcha.
Mike.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, Mr. Mike, that ran
DeWine.
The bogus ad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Voinovich, Trent Lott, John Warner, they've represented Haley Barbour, they've represented Bill Owens of Colorado, Sonny Perdue, the serial draft dodger,
God.
Sonny Perdue, who got four draft deferments because of a trick knee, who
only,
ran the ad.
The guy that beat him bald-headed shooter in Washington, D.C. that shoots the guy in the face and gets by with it for 24 hours without reporting it, you know.
They represent Bush Cheney. They represent all the Republicans, municipal offices, foreign policy.
Well,
Republicans.
This is going nationwide, anyway. At least it's the first time I've heard about it, and nobody has called you on it yet, have they?
No, they haven't called us, and their motto is we hate to lose. We're going to do our best to make them uncomfortable. Jim, thanks a million for the call. Great insight. I really appreciate it. The Terrence Group is out there polling for Republicans, polling and trolling. We're going to come right back. We're going to have Lester Brown. Oh, faux pas. Being all caught up in this. President of the Earth Policy Institute. He's the, over 20 honorary degrees and prizes and awards, including the United Nations Environment Prize. We're going to be talking the environment. And we'll be right back on the Air America Radio Network. I'm John Elliott. Don't go away on the Majority Report.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio. You're listening to AM 13.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
I'll always consider myself the father of four boys, even though two of my sons are gone. Our twins, Kevin and Brian, died when their boat capsized. Bad weather, cold water, and the absence of life jackets contributed to their deaths. If I can help one person avoid the daily heartbreak that my wife and family must endure, then asking you to be responsible on your boat will be well worth my time. Visit BoatSmarter.com, and remember, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
Have anything to do, so I wound up reading the 17-page letter Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad wrote to President Bush. And I know what you're thinking. Yes, reading other people's mail is a federal crime, but something changed my mind. This trenchant analysis of the letter by John Gibson of Fox News. Take a look.
That nut job running Iran, President Ahmadinejad, sent President Bush a letter, and if it weren't postmarked Tehran, it might have been mistaken for a crank letter from an angry leftist in L.A. or Boulder or Cambridge, Massachusetts. WMD lies, says the Iranian president. Democrat talking point. Human rights abuses in Gitmo. Another Democrat talking point. The gap between haves and have-nots. The Iranian president and the Dems in lockstep on that one, too.
I couldn't agree more. When I read the letter myself, I found even more Democratic talking points. Listen to this. All governments have a duty to protect the lives, property, and good standing of their citizens. Democratic talking point. The killing of innocents is deplorable and appalling in any part of the world. Democratic talking point. Democrats, when are you going to learn that when an evil dictator like Ahmadinejad Michael Morijad starts using your talking points, you've got to disagree with them.
If he says there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, you point out that sand is a weapon of mass destruction when used properly. You can sort of toss it in someone's eyes during a knife fight. Works. You see, if someone is sufficiently evil, everything about them and what they believe is wrong, whether or not it's right. That's why I'm not a vegetarian. Because Hitler was a vegetarian. And I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of Hitler. I know that's going to disappoint a lot of Democrats.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
That we were planning on having is actually the work number, and we realize that we don't have the home number that we thought we had, we say to his publicist, who I know is listening, Barbara, would you call our studios here in San Diego? And I'll wait for a second while you go and grab a pen and put this number down. The number is 858-560-1360. That's 858-560-1360. And call in and talk to Gregory and give Gregory Mr. Brown's home number, and then we'll get him on the air. That's how we do things in live radio world. Nothing stops. We're like a speeding bullet. We just continue on talking truth to power. Lisa, Piedmont, New York, how are you? Welcome to the Majority Report. You're on with John Elliott. How are you doing?
Hi, great. I'd probably be a little bit better unless I didn't hear about this Teen Endangerment Act that's going to endanger the lives of young women, and I hope that when they
you
do
bet
turn
it is.
18... Yeah, when they do turn 18, that they don't vote for any of these scuzzballs who voted, you know, to make their to interfere with their right to exercise the right to choose. And I
well
happen
said.
To yeah, I happen to have in front of me the vote tally on how they voted, and 14 Democrats, as you mentioned earlier in your program, did in fact vote for this bill. And, you know, such as Reed of Nevada, the two...
Wait a minute. Harry Reid voted for the bill?
Yep.
No.
Yep. Johnson and Conrad, Landreau. I won't list them all. I'll spare your program. Dorgan, Pryor, Salazar. So if you're listening, you know, please don't vote for them in the next election. And I also know that 19 of the senators who voted for... this bill will be up for re-election next year. I think that's in both parties, but
yeah. Well,
yeah.
The bill actually has a long way to go. The fact that there's a vastly different bill that has passed the House, and then now this is a completely different bill that has passed the Senate. So the Senate and House negotiation committees are going to have to get together and see if they can iron something out. But
yeah,
they're ironing out something bad and something worse. I mean, this is not good for women. This is not, you know, this is not. Did you notice that any women senators voted in favor of this bill? I bet you, there might be Blanche of Arkansas might have voted for it. Did
four.
She vote for?
Four. Out of
four
the
women?
Senate. Out of the entire Senate. Yeah.
Really?
Four. Right. Yeah.
Well,
and,
Bailey Hutchinson doesn't count.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, and the parental notification bill, they want to actually, the House wanted to passed a federal parental notification bill, and that's what they're trying to compromise on. And they haven't exactly met in committee yet to do that. But I hope that doesn't go through because, you know, there are still at least several safe havens in the country where women go to. I mean, right now you have women who are in Boston who go to New York and to obtain abortions. And there's actually a group of women in New York who help house these women because they have to go from Boston to New York to obtain an abortion. And it's really unfortunate that these bullies are picking on the youngest women who can't even vote. So I just wanted to give my comment on that. Yeah.
Cider House rules. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Cider House rules here, Lisa. Thanks very much for the call. I appreciate it. The Majority Report. I'm John Elliott. We're waiting to get a hold of Lester Brown if we can. And the number to call is 858-560-1316. Give us Lester's number, Barbara. Scott, University City, California. How are you? Welcome to the program, The Majority Report. You're on with John. How are you?
Great, John. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, sir. Always like right back at you.
Thank you. I got to admit, I'm very confused about this whole race in the 50th. But what I'm confused about is Francine, her response and her actions since the election. And the reason I'm asking you this question is you're, of course, familiar with politics here and know a lot about what's going on. I'm having
We should let our listeners know nationwide that Scott is referring to the 50th district race here in California that took place on June the 6th between Francine Busby, the Democrat, and Brian Bilbray, the Republican. And that was a race to fill the seat of Duke Cunningham, who is now taking his sunshine through bars.
Yeah, that's some of the text. But, John, as we know, there's a whole bunch of funny things going on here. Republicans came in a couple of days after the before it was going to be closed off and found somehow thousands of additional absentee ballots. Bill Bray was voting on the floor before the votes were certified. All kinds of weird things happening. And what's amazing me right now, John, is that Francine is not standing up and saying anything. I've contacted her campaign. And
it's
what
fixed.
I'm getting back from them is that she needs a groundswell. She's looking for support. She doesn't want to be made out to be the sore loser. And what I'm wondering
is true.
Where's the leader? Why doesn't she stand up to heck with being branded a sore loser and say, hey, you guys stole this election? Or
well, we don't know that it was stolen. What we do know is the fact that they had the machines, and we had Jess Durfee on the program yesterday. We had Jess Durfee on the program, who's chair of the San Diego Democratic Committee, and he was talking to the County Board of Supervisors about trying to get some answers. And of course, that's being met with a fuselage of negativity from the local newspapers, calling us sore losers. So Francine has to remain above the fray, and it's really up to the Democratic National Committee to come in and grab the bull by the horns here, and it's up to the DNC under Howard Dean's leadership to come in and say, look, we want a full accounting as to what went on here. We believe that these machines were taken home. They were kept in sleepovers in people's garages and their living rooms and kitchens, and God knows what was happening to them and whether they were tampered with or not, and that makes it an invalid election. We want the whole election over with, and we want all the bills that Bill Bray has voted for, and I want his vote negated.
But, John, the thing is here is that I disagree with you. I think that Francine should stand up. I think she should cast aside what the DCCC told her. They've been losing everything else so far. Why doesn't she stand up and say there's too many questionable issues going on in this race, and it's not about me. It's about making sure the votes are counted. There's a lot of weird things going on. She didn't count all of – she conceded the race quickly, didn't count the absentee ballots. That somehow the Libertarian here got 5,000 votes in the 50th district.
The Libertarian getting 5,000 votes in the 50th district is an astounding number.
That's it. And no other district did Libertarians even get close. I mean, there's too many irregularities. And what I would expect Francine to do is to stand up and say, we need the votes counted, whether or not I won. This is regardless. This is bipartisan. We need to verify the votes.
It's really, really leadership. This is what the party's supposed to be doing, Scott. They should be out there doing this for her. You know, it's not up to her.
So you don't think Francine should?
No, I don't think she should be doing this. I think that she should be concentrating on getting her ducks in a row for the election that's going to happen again in a few months. I mean, she's running again. She's the nominee on the Democratic side. I think you're going to see some interesting people coming out to San Diego to support her. I mean, Bilbray, having never served in the military, brought Dick Cheney, who also never served in the military, along with Dennis Hastert, who never served in the military, to a town that is filled with military here in San Diego. So,
and he's not even he didn't even live in this district before he decided to run here.
Well, he doesn't live in the district anyway. He moved in with his mother. Now, everybody, when they move in with their mother, don't they change their voter registration to their mother's place? Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the call. Hey, listen, we want to say about Camp Democracy. And this is from Democrats.com from my friend Bob Furtick. They're joining with organizations and individuals around the country to create an event on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And this is going to run from September 5th to the 21st. and it's called Camp Democracy, and it's a camp for peace, democracy, and the restoration of the rule of law. Camp Casey will really move from Crawford, Texas, to Washington to create a larger camp focused not only on ending the war, but also on righting injustices here at home and on holding accountable the Bush administration and the Republican Congress. Tents are going to provide activist activities, training, workshops. There's going to be entertainment on a variety of themes united by the demand that we shift our resources from war to useful projects. And Camp Democracy will provide food and housing and education and inspiration for all who can come for part of the event or all of it. So to do so, we need your help. All right? So sign up as a volunteer and contribute financially. Go to www.campdemocracy.org. That's campdemocracy.org. And join a great thing. That is September 5th to the 21st. I should also tell you that Congressman Dennis Kucinich is introducing a resolution tomorrow that calls on President Bush to appeal to all sides for a cessation of hostilities in the Iraq-Lebanon conflict and to commit the United States to multi-party negotiations. There are 20 co-sponsors to that. I would suggest that you get in touch with your congressman and talk to your congressman and see exactly whether or not he's going to be supporting that. Bob, San Antonio, Texas, the Majority Report. You're on with John Elliott. How are you?
Good evening. I just wanted to, I guess it boils my blood about military topics by non-military people. And even though I'm ex-military, I consider myself non-military. And when you bring up ideas that draft dodgers need to be criticized, like this four-time draft dodging fool with the leg problem, it's not credibility for the Democrats.
Here's why I criticize him. Saxby Chambliss got four separate deferments for a trick knee. Now, that was his choice. But then what he did is he was running against Max Cleland, the incumbent senator. Max Cleland served in Vietnam and is an amputee three times. He's a triple amputee. And he ran the most despicable television commercials that accused Max Cleland of being unpatriotic. So when some guy, I have to tell you this, Bob, when some guy who doesn't serve and four times avoids serving starts criticizing someone who did serve and ended up a triple amputee and calling them unpatriotic and not giving for their country, I have to stand up and do something.
I'm not questioning that. What I'm questioning is, I mean, if you're a better person for not going there, in my opinion, because it just brings up useless chatter. I mean, the only thing that's going to stick out in people's heads is Bill Clinton was the draft dodger. That's the only draft dodger in this country, and the runner-up is John Kerry. I mean, he only performed for 3 months in Vietnam, yet he's got to be the holy grail of the authority on it.
But John Kerry volunteered. John Kerry volunteered for duty.
Absolutely.
He didn't need to.
But you know what? You draw comparisons, and it's the hostility towards, for example, our current standing president. Whether you like him or not, use a little humor when you talk about his career. He put in time in the National Guard. Don't ridicule it. There's a lot of people in the National Guard right now, and you're hurting people that want to see a change. I'm not saying you personally. I'm saying the Democrat, the left-wing view, the American that, George Bush's service in the National Guard was substandard. You're alienating a lot of us out there that put in reserve time.
We had when I did this show before, I had Ben Barnes on. Ben Barnes was Lieutenant Governor of Texas, and he made the call to get George Bush into the Texas Air National Guard. He was such a miserable failure at the Texas Air National Guard that his father actually called a friend to see if he could move him over to the Alabama National Guard, where, if you'll recall, he couldn't name a single person in his unit. Now, Bob, you served, so if I asked you right now to name two or three people that you served with and ask those people in your unit to name you and say where you were there, we know that could happen, but not a single person could George Bush name that he served with, and not a single person that served in the Alabama National Guard at that time could identify that George was actually there. So, I really question really not whether he did serve with any distinction, let alone great distinction. Thanks for the call, Bob. It's John Elliott. I'm on the Majority Report here on the Air America Radio Network. Stay where you are. Mike, Adam, I'm going to take your calls when I get back. If you'd like to talk with us, 866-303-2270.
America under attack. They can break the rules, dismantle the courts, and feed at the corporate trough.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
But they can't stop the Majority Report on Air America Radio.
It's the Randy Rhodes Show.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
So hot today in New York City, that naked guy on the subway was screaming, "Who's crazy now?" Hot down in Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney replaced his pacemaker with an ice maker.
Wow. Is that hot?
It's so hot, Christy Brinkley is now dating Ben and Jerry.
Whoa!
It's so hot today, ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that. That's what he said. That's what President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Israel has just announced plans to occupy a strip inside of Lebanon, leading us to believe that maybe they're not just planning on pulling back. They're going to hang out in Lebanon. They did this, 1982 to 2000. They spent 18 years there. Now, you're going to say, well, and look what happened when they left. But it's a good thing Condi Rice was there, because now that Condi is there, she's convinced the Israelis, and the Israelis said, okay, Condi, because it's you and because you asked. Yeah, now we're going to let humanitarian aid go through. But we weren't going to until you asked, but now by God, making the United States look like they are the good guys when everyone in the region knows that we are not. Joan, Bronx, New York, how are you? You're on the Majority Report with John Elliott. How you doing?
I'm okay. I actually.
Why are you okay?
I mean, I'm actually hanging in there. I heard that, like 2 seconds of this man that was on before the guy that called in about Don Kerry and his comment about John Kerry, and then I missed the comment about Bush, but I heard your response, and I guess why I called in, why I felt I had to call in, is what's being taken? Is it in the water? How could people still believe in the Republicans, in the Bush?
Two reasons. Here's the two reasons. One, they're not paying attention, because if they were paying attention, they'd recognize that their gas costs more, that they can't get the same student loans that they used to get, that a lot of people, maybe even them, are losing their jobs, and those jobs are outsourced overseas. And by the way, the pension that they were going to inherit, that's gone away because the companies walked away from that. And maybe, just maybe, they realize they don't have health insurance. But by God, the Americans are being taken care of because we're being kept free, because he keeps taking away our civil rights so that we can continue to be safe. We need to understand that. We need to understand that the single most important issues in this country are not burning a flag, which no one's done for 40 years, so see how well that's worked, and to make sure that abortion, you know, that women do not have the right to choose. You don't have the right to choose. You don't have the right to die. It's always them. It's always them. But don't, for God's sake, don't question people dying in Iraq, and please, please, please do not ask to see a picture of a flag-draped coffin. We only have 2,565 of them, and you can't see any of them. Other than that, that's my first reason. Now, the second reason is people are morons.
Obviously, that's the case, because I understand that they don't read papers, they don't watch, well, the news is worthless anyway, and so are the papers. But bottom line is, you still have to drive those damn cars.
You know, you still have to drive those damn cars, but 64 million people voted for this guy from Alabama to be American Idol, which is actually 4 million more votes than Bush got, and 64 million votes more than he deserved.
It's true. It's
Thanks
absolutely
for the call.
True. Thank you. Bye.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Joan, Bronx, New York. Guy, Hollywood, Florida. How are you? You're on the Majority Report with John Elliott. How are you doing tonight?
Unfortunately, I'm fuming.
Okay.
I got to tell you, John.
Give it to me.
Well, I'm an energy analyst. I've been on, I'm not going to quote the stations, but major networks, both on television and international radio. And recently, one of the things I set straight, and I tell people whenever they can, because most of America's missed the boat. The reason we went into Iraq was not to secure the oil, because we didn't spend $1 to reinvigorate the old antiquated Russian equipment that they were using, and to follow up on Paul Wolfowitz, guarantee that the gas prices would come down once we got control of the oil. The motive to go into Iraq, and this president will never leave Iraq because we're raping the country, is to disrupt the oil, which then tripled the price, and now, just like
you are a smart cookie,
we have divided our allies and united our enemies. That's what this guy does. This guy that we've somehow, I don't know what happened, America fell asleep, but they've elected a dictator who has reversed 20 years of diplomacy. Totally brought up now, intelligence sources have told us now that we have 10 times the splinter groups and extremists out of Islam that are seeking to destroy the U.S. And he's tripled the wealth of all the state sponsors of terrorism by tripling the price of oil. And that's because he made a promise to all the cronies that got him elected, like the Enrons and the Exxons, and now they're rich. So if America's missed the boat, they need to wake up, because it's obvious what this guy's agenda is. And, you know, so every time Americans go to the pump and you pump in $3.
Right. It's a fossil fuel industry. George Bush was in, was with Harkin. Cheney was it. Condoleezza Rice was on the board of Chevron. You know, it's a fossil fuel administration. So they're the ones, they're carrying the water for their pals as they come in. I'm going to have to take a break at the top of the hour, but I think you make a very, very interesting point. I do know that a responsible government, even in the free enterprise society, when catastrophic events happen, like Katrina, and allow prices to skyrocket, they put a ceiling on the ability of war profiteers like the oil companies to grab it. John Elliott, Majority Report. We'll be right back on the Air America.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
M1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. UN observers are dead in an Israeli airstrike. Two, possibly four, were killed in an outpost along the border.
There was a coordinated artillery and aerial attack on a long-established and clearly marked UN post in southern Lebanon, in Qiyam, and it appears that it was a deliberate targeting by the Israeli Defense Forces.
UN spokesman Brendan Varma, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan wants an investigation. The UN was apparently reassured by the Israeli Prime Minister that the outpost would not be targeted. Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv.
Israel's army says it's looking into exactly what happened. Sources told Israel Radio there may have been a mistake. Warplanes may have hit the UN position because the radio report said the UN was near Hezbollah fighters.
The U.S. is trying to make contact with Americans trapped in southern Lebanon. CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan is in the town of Tyre, where he met some frantic Americans trying to get out.
Zinab Shaheen is from Dearborn, Michigan. She was here visiting her grandmother.
We have nothing. All our family is all over there. We have nothing over there. They burned our cars. They burned our houses.
Those she passed on the road will haunt her forever.
On the way, they're begging us. They're begging us to come in the car. There's no room in the car. If we can bring them, we'd bring them, but we can't bring them.
The South has become a deserted wasteland. The few who have lingered line up for bread only to head right back indoors. The view these days is less than comforting.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice arrived in Rome today for tomorrow's meeting on the Mideast crisis. The president met at the White House today with the Iraqi prime minister to talk about the escalating violence in Baghdad and how they'll tackle that problem.
The new strategy centers on redeploying troops to Baghdad.
These will come from other areas of the country. Our military commanders tell me that this deployment will better reflect the current conditions on the ground in Iraq.
President Bush describes the violence in Baghdad as terrible. The Iraqis hope the new effort will control religious violence raging in parts of the capital. President Bush's military advisors say the new deployment will respond to current challenges on the ground in Iraq. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Power outages, deaths, and wildfires all blamed on the weather. Doug Sovereign of KCBS has the latest on the California heat wave.
The death toll is soaring along with the temperature as California bakes under 100 degree heat.
This is clearly an historic weather pattern not seen in 57 years.
State Energy Undersecretary Joe Desmond says another power emergency is in effect as the searing heat produces record energy demand. More than three dozen people have died, most of them elderly. Piles of rotting cattle carcasses litter the Central Valley where cows are collapsing in the sweltering heat. Doug Sovereign, CBS News, San Francisco.
On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 52 points at 11,103, and the Nasdaq was higher as well by 12 points. This is CBS News.
I was lucky enough to find out about Laurel Langmire. Since then, I own 16 investment properties. I have a C-Corp, an S-Corp. I have six LLCs.
Free yourself from the daily grind of your 9-to-5 job.
My experience in the first 4 months, I walked away with almost $300,000.
Laurel Langmire has personally coached hundreds of entrepreneurs into financial freedom.
Laurel and her team blew me away, and I went, I got to work with this lady.
Laurel teaches you how to live in a wealth cycle and stay there. A master of customized one-on-one guidance, Laurel Langmire can place you on the road to financial independence.
Hi, I'm Laurel Langmire. Creating wealth is not as difficult as you may think. If you're ready to turn your financial dreams into reality, then I want you to have my Extreme Money Makeover CD for free.
Call now for your free Money Makeover CD. 1-800-508-6823.
People are really looking for something like this, and Laurel certainly has
transient solution.
Call now for your free Money Makeover CD. 1-800-508-6823. 800-508-6823.
Was it a fictional Hollywood character or based on a hit song? CBS News correspondent Bill Vitka has more on the dispute.
Steely Dan wants an apology. The veteran band has posted an open letter requesting that actor Owen Wilson cop to the fact that he and his Hollywood pals did wrong by ripping off the Steely Dan song Cousin Dupree for the movie You, Me, and Dupree. It's not as though Wilson and company didn't have a chance to hear the track. It was a 2001 Grammy winner. No comment from Wilson.
How about a kiss on your cousin Dupree? How about a kiss on your cousin Dupree?
Bill Vitka, CBS News.
Regulators want to require companies to disclose how much their executives are paid in salaries and perks. They're writing new rules, and the Securities and Exchange Commission will vote tomorrow whether to adopt them. They hope that the changes will mean more corporate transparency. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to nohagglemortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow nohagglemortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3. No haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to nohagglemortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to nohagglemortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
How are you? If I said the word donut, what would you think? Those of you that answered Krispy Kreme, you go to the back of the class. No, no, no. The donut I'm referring to is the donut hole, hand-delivered to the senior citizens of our country, courtesy of the Bush administration, who, when you think of it, are the proxy of the pharmaceutical industry, who wrote this wonderful bill that is just about ready to create serious health and financial issues for nearly 7 million Americans. And this is from the group that Tom Brokaw called the Greatest Generation. You know, there's much ballyhooed Bush for prescription drug care program. This is the one for seniors. Maybe you don't know this. It covers the first $2,250 in prescription costs. Then once you hit $2,250, you're on your own for the next $2,850. Once you then reach a sum total of $5,100 in any one year, the plan kicks back in. So the average Medicare-eligible American reaches the donut hole in the prescription coverage on September 22nd. And what happens to the Greatest Generation? They're on their own. And if they don't have the money, well, according to Bush's plan, that's too bad. What will it take? Do we need our elderly dying on the street in front of a Walmart? Hey, you know, but hope's on the way. Hope is on the way. Now, not for the elderly, of course, but for Big Pharma. See, this donut hole gap increases over time as the catastrophic threshold rises, and that engulfs more and more Americans. 55% of those who enter the donut hole will never be able to escape it. And with the money it saves not insuring people, you deny people life-sustaining medication. When they die, well, Big Pharma, and I'm just guessing here, but may give a big campaign contribution to the Republicans. Oh, now, you cynics out there, I hear you. You are calling it a thank you. Not a campaign contribution, a thank you, a tip. Either way, people die, Big Pharma wins. Nice business, get tax breaks, plowing money back into R&D,
then deny the coverage to the Americans who need the drugs once they're discovered. And these are people who need the drugs to live. I mean, you could make a case that the money Big Pharma got in tax breaks came from the very Americans who are going to die. But then why should Big Pharma care about that? What the only thing they care, what's my stock option price? Am I underwater on my stock options? What's my trigger price? What's today's close? Gotta love Big Pharma. Democrats are the party of Hollywood, they say. Really? Republicans are the party of Big Tobacco. How many people did a movie kill this week, this year, in 10 years, in the last 50 years?
I can't breathe, but could you hand me a pack of Camels, please?
God forbid we buy a video. That could really hurt. Jen, Sacramento, California. You're on the Majority Report with John Elliott. How are you?
Hi. I just want to ask a question. We do all this talking, and I'm on your side. I'm doing talking. I'm ranting and raving. But why aren't we doing something? I mean, we're just talking. Why aren't we saying on the radio, on the TV, on the newspapers, look, August 1st, everybody get in their cars, the planes, the trains, however way to get down to Washington, and tell those fools to get out. I don't understand that.
Get out, George. That's our house. You're in my house. You get out, George.
Exactly. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like in I remember shows where they said if the captain was incapacitated, if he was mentally incapable of fulfilling his duty, that he was relieved of duty. We need to relieve these fools of duty. They are done.
See, they would call that a mutiny.
Well, it works for me. Revolution up in here, okay?
Well, you know, there is a revolution taking place, and I don't think we need to violently go to the streets, although I will tell you George Bush is prepared for that because he sees the mood out there, and the mood is ugly.
Yeah.
The mood is ugly out there. People are, you know, working two or three jobs. They're not getting by. This nonsense that we have a better economy, not true at all. I mean, the reality is people are working harder for, it's putting in more hours for less money and less buying power than they've had before. And people are getting a little bent out of shape about that. And I think that that's one of the reasons he wanted to send the National Guard down to the border was to test out and sort of take out the National Guard on military law. Take that car out for a drive and see how it works. So, I think that people need to get mad. They need to get angry. And rather than going to Washington and telling them to get out, we just need to work for the candidates in our district. We need to get out there. We need to talk to people in the malls and in the churches and at schools and at soccer matches and at work and at lunch and get out and talk to people and say, are you paying attention? Do you realize what's going on in this country? And then take the next 10 minutes and tell them what's going on and watch their eyes go, huh? I didn't know that.
And that's what's happening, and that's what happened to me. I didn't know anything about AM, and somebody told me, and I have not missed a beat ever since, because I really want to know what's going on and what to do. And, you know, I volunteered. I tried to start a group.
Good.
And volunteering to drive whoever wants to go and vote, I will pick them up free
Bingo.
Of charge in Sacramento, and I will take them to the polls, because this is ridiculous.
It is. Jen, thanks a million for the call. You're doing the right thing. I really appreciate it. Adam, Brooklyn, New York, how are you? Welcome to the Majority Report. You're on with John Elliott.
Hi, John, it's good to speak with you. I mean, I've been listening to you, you know, and I think everything's great. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I did have a couple of questions for you, the first of which being, a result of our founding fathers. Wasn't the Constitution that they set up after the Declaration of Independence and the amendments that they set up to the Constitution, wasn't that geared to only have... prevent against a monarchy? Wasn't it set up so that there would be the House, the Senate, and everyone? So that it wasn't one man. I mean, wasn't it against, like, King George XIII that they were,
Yeah, it was King George then, and it looks like it's King George now.
Yeah.
So your point is, are we being turned back into a monarchy?
Yeah, I mean, he has kind of turned it into a monarchy, even to the point that he's, you know, turning up his tail towards the UN. You know, he's become his own governor of the world, you know, whether he really does believe that he is,
when yesterday's show I had on Richard Wolff from Newsweek magazine, and
right.
He was talking about the trip that he took with Bush and how uncomfortable Bush is when he has to share the table with leaders from seven other countries. He doesn't like that. He likes to do one-on-one. He likes to be king of the world. And
no, absolutely. I heard that spot.
Yeah, that's clearly where he's looking. Hey, Adam, thanks very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. John in Ocala, Florida. You're on the Majority Report with John Elliott. How are you?
Yes. Hi, John. It's good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Look,
good to talk
something
to you,
you said there earlier this evening, you were talking about the irregularities in the election in Southern California and San Diego there.
Right.
And something you said kind of bothered me. The caller was talking about this tendency of the Democratic state down there to roll over and just let the Republicans have their way in spite of the apparent irregularity. And this is the same thing that happened in the 2004 election, too. And my biggest disappointment at that time was the apparent tendency of John Kerry to roll over and let the Republicans have their way there. Now, when we vote for these people, when we vote for representation or for people to represent us, we're not just looking for someone to follow our lead. We are looking to elect not just representatives but leaders. And we expect these leaders to have a little sand, some kind of grit, some kind of backbone.
Well, also, you know, your case of Kerry in 2004, because of 2000 and the Democrats' desire to not to be have the wool pulled over their eyes again on an election, they set aside a fund that was run by and administered by Chris Kerry, the candidate,
look,
John Kerry's brother, specifically, and it had $10 million in it, specifically as a war chest to use to fight any irregularities. Ohio came along. Clearly the irregularities were there, and they did nothing. And, you know, it's... John Kerry's running again. He's wasting my time. Now, in the case of Francine, you know, Francine is out here. She's doing the best she possibly can. Francine Busby, the Democratic candidate. But it's really not up to her to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, what are you doing to taking these machines home? Somebody else in the campaign needs to stand up and do that. And Jess Durfee is the chair of the San Diego Democratic Party, and he is doing that. But they are stonewalling him. They've turned the press against him. They've turned up the heat. This is a Republican community here in San Diego. And we have, you know, our show's the highest rated show on weekends, and you know, maybe we're swinging some people around. But, you know, it's you want people to stand up and do it, but they can't go solo. They need to have some support. And in a case go ahead, John.
I know that they need this kind of support, but they have to lead the way. Now, I can understand why Al Gore did not do this in 2000. It was because as the vice president, he was also the president of the Senate, and he would have had to literally decide the outcome of his own election if he had stood up against this false counting and decision by the Supreme Court in 2000. But the tendency of the Republicans to try to steal elections since then and getting away with it, it's just emboldening them that the Democrats are not standing up to the candidates themselves and saying, wait a minute, this is wrong. There has got to be accountability. Even if I lose, I don't care. I want full accountability in these elections. I want a full recounting. If there's any kind of question...
We're going to give the Register of Voters a call tomorrow. San Diego County Register of Voters is a Republican by the name of Michael Haas who runs the thing, and he's appointed by the county commissioners. I'm going to try and get him on the line and see if he'll talk to us. I don't count on it, but at least I'll do my best to do it. John Ocala, thanks a million for the call. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk to Bill, Charlie, Gary, and you if you call 866-303-2270. It's John Elliott on the Majority Report on the Air America Radio Network.
The Majority Report, your source for evangelical right-wing propaganda.
We're on a mission from God.
Only on Air America Radio.
A liberal dose of the truth.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you got all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I was in the water before I knew what happened. I reached up to stop an or two from going overboard. The next thing I knew, I was overboard too. Watching my boat, there was nothing I could do to avoid being hit. The first time, the propeller cut through my back. The second time, it cut my hand and arm. A moment of operator inattention, a lifetime of can't forget. Because I survived, I can tell you how important it is to be responsible on your boat. Visit BoatSmarter.com and remember, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
Report is taking some time off. Sitting in for Sam Cedar, John Elliott, the most dangerous liberal in America.
I'm honored to shake the hand of a brave Iraqi citizen who had his hand cut off.
What the hell did President Bush just say?
I'm honored to shake the hand of a brave Iraqi citizen who had his hand cut off. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, the most intelligent man in the world, the leader of the free world, by God is bright. Remind me of the time he finished the performance of Stevie Wonder in the White House in the Kennedy Center. He stood up and waved to Stevie Wonder. Hi, thank you, waving there. Stevie didn't wave back. George still doesn't know why, but you do. Bill, Phoenix, Arizona, how are you?
Hi, John. I'd like to lend a hand.
Hey, you're listening to us on the new...
The brand new PDX 1480 right here in Phoenix, Arizona, the new home of America.
Glad you're on. You know, we know there's some guys out there. There's a half a dozen guys that really worked their little buns off to put that back on the air. They did a great job.
Working men and women in progressive radio right here in Phoenix, Arizona. But that's not why I called.
Why'd you call?
It's not. John, if in some simple fashion you could mark yourself so that at a glance someone might know that you stand for the impeachment and indictment, well, just the impeachment of George Bush et al., would you do it?
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. Okay.
You know, as far as impeachment goes, a couple of things. Number one, if you get up, the old, and you can Google this, Harper's Magazine a few months ago, Lewis Latham is the editor. He wrote a story on impeaching George Bush, and he said that he started to read House Resolution 635, which is John Conyers' bill for impeachment.
Yes.
And he said, you know, he was a little skeptical going into it, and he read the bill, and he said, my thought originally was, should we really consider this? And my thought after reading it was, we cannot do anything else. We absolutely must.
We absolutely must. So
I saw John Conyers in Washington about the middle
man.
Of June. Great man. Yeah, I saw him in the middle of June. And I said, Congressman, why? Why are you, in spite of all the Republicans out there, in spite of the fact that this isn't going to get any traction on the Republican side, why are you offering this bill for impeachment? And he said, John, I'm offering the bill because down the road, hundreds of years from now, 50 years, 75 years, people are going to look back at this time in America's history, and they're going to say, what the hell was wrong with those people? Why didn't they impeach him? He said, so for the future, we have to show them that some of us stood up. Some of us resisted it.
Let me ask you again.
Fire away.
In a simple fashion, would you mark yourself as somebody, so at a glance, wherever you are, whenever you're there, someone would know that you stand for the impeachment of this?
Sure. We've got people here in our station.
Then I have a simple resolution.
You know, I had a funny feeling you did. But we've got people that run around here with impeach George Bush T-shirts.
Yeah, this is something that doesn't cost but a dime. But a dime.
Fire away.
When I think of a safety pin, I think of motherhood. Every mother in the world's touched one. This is how I'll support Cindy. And I'll attach to it a one-inch dot, square, heart-shaped, in the color red, piece of cloth. And I'll affix it over my heart. John, if enough of us did it, where would they put the news cameras?
They'd follow you around.
What would they do with the voting machines, John, if enough of us did it?
Yeah, it's a great
idea. This is how we win. We win when we see we stand together. This
is
what I propose. It's a simple thing.
It's a very simple thing. It's a safety pin with a little piece of red heart.
A little piece of red. Here's what I like best. Over your heart. Here's what I like best. When people ask me, what is that? Invariably, John, it's pointing to their heart. Boy, we can talk now.
That's great, Bill. Great idea. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. G, you going to do it? G's going to do it. We're going to do it here. Guys in New York are going to do it. Air America Radio. It's the Majority Report with John Elliott. Lots of calls. We have the great Pat Morrison joining us at the bottom of the hour. Don't go away because you're not going to believe what you're going to hear from this lady.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio. You're listening to AM 1320.
It's the best bike vacation ever.
3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Fundamentalist, Christian fundamentalist, Jewish fundamentalist, and just plain guys from Montana are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply and sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
Air America Radio Network. Two Pulitzers, four Golden Mics, half a dozen Emmys, a marvelous column in the Los Angeles Times, and now back on the radio with her own radio show on the NPR station in Los Angeles 5 days a week, the great Pat Morrison. How are you?
John, how nice. Thank you.
All true. All true. And I don't have time to read your entire CV.
Oh, it makes me tired just reading it. I think, God, do I really do all that?
Yeah, you did all that. You did so well, too. I told our audience at the top of the show that I when I saw your column in Thursday's LA Times, and by the way, I told them for their homework until you came on to pull it up online and read it so they know what we're going to talk about. And it was absolutely chilling. Now you have this tremendous wit, and you write so well, but this one was truly one of the more frightening columns that I have ever read from anybody, let alone from Lady Pat.
It was chilling to hear about this. The idea, once again, that the license that has been permitted by so many people in this country to a trickle-down power authority structure since 9/11, anyone who invokes any kind of regulation, be it legitimate or not, is deferred to, it seems. And this is very unsettling in the case that we were talking about, which I'm sure your audience, having done its homework, knows.
But let's recap for those people that are driving and didn't get near a computer. You point out in the article that there are people that are taking pictures of public structures, public buildings, public walkways, and in the case of Los Angeles, where you write your article, we have the Liberty Tower or Library Building or whatever we want to call it, because it was, of course, the terrorist. And somebody was taking a picture of the steps and the sculpture at the top of the steps, and he was an ex-cop. And along comes the strong arm of the law that says, you can't do that anymore. We need to confiscate the film. And nobody can seem to, you know, say anything other than, well, after 9/11, it's all different.
That seems to be the mantra, and I think everybody who is now a security guard unconsciously sees the word somehow homeland in front of his or her name. And unfortunately, we have people we've been paying $5 and $6 an hour to do our security work, and now we have turned them after 9/11 into the front lines. We haven't raised their pay, but we have given them this sense of mission that sometimes way oversteps its bounds. In this case, not only the man I wrote about, but many, many readers who emailed me subsequently saying, not only at that building, but at many buildings that have, they're standing on a public sidewalk, they're taking picture of a public object, and they're told, Homeland Security, no photographs, no photographs. I mean, you think that they were paparazzi rather than students, rather than tourists, and it's very distressing to think that they're that people are invoking laws that don't exist.
And not able to really articulate them. I have to tell you, back in 1972, Kathy and I were in the Soviet Union. We were in Russia, and wandering around the streets. And the first thing we were told is that we're not allowed to take pictures of bridges, overpasses. We're not allowed to take pictures of government buildings. So, of course, that was a challenge to me because I was a pretty young guy.
Sure.
And when I got home and looked at what I'd done, I thought, what the hell's that? It's a building. It's a bridge. What did I do that for? But it was clear that they did not want that, and that was that. And we talked to Russians, and Russians said, "Oh God, we're not allowed to do that. No,
well, it's
allowed."
It's interesting.
And this is 1972. This was when the communists were at the height of their power. This was during the Cold War, and we were always, we don't want to be like that. Wait, what do you mean you can't take a picture of a bridge? But you should live over here, and now we're there.
Well, it's as if they're unable to discern between somebody who might be a threat and somebody who's clearly there, you know, in a Hawaiian shirt taking pictures for souvenirs. And a couple of the emails I got, one was from a reader who said, look, just came back from Mazatlan. We drove down and flew back. I wanted to snap a picture crossing the border and was told, don't do that because et cetera, Homeland Security. And then
don't
I got another email from a man who was in Havana 20 years ago, was with a group of lawyers. While walking around Havana, I saw a large poster with a hammer and sickle in a store window and proceeded to take photos. A police officer told me to stop. A crowd gathered, and to a person, they shouted at the officer and chased him off, telling him a tourist had a right to take photos of anything they wanted in Cuba.
That's in the mid-'80s, you know?
And that was in the mid-'80s, and nobody I know is a fan of Castro, but my goodness, look at the difference here. And so I think that we have a sense of that people have been intimidated and that people in positions of authority have invested themselves or been invested by some of the messages coming out of Washington with this sense of the first answer to anything is no.
Yeah, the first answer is no. And you know, I read a story where they're trying to marshal the 12,000 school bus drivers around the country to be on the alert for terrorist activities and things that you might find out that you might see that are a little bit untoward. And here, we're
like spitballs.
Yeah, spitballs. There we go. Right, trip to Disneyland. Pull out. I'm sorry, that's an e-ticket. You need an e-ticket. You need an e-ticket to get on this school bus. But yeah, I think that what are we doing? We're turning the, and this is, I think, part of the big picture with the Bush administration, which is be afraid, be very afraid, and I'm the only one that can keep you safe.
And so many people are inclined to just shrug their shoulders and say, fine, and move on. And
what it means to challenge
authority is to invest some time and take some risk. As so many people who emailed me said, well, you know, I really just had to decide. Did I have the time to say, who's your superior? What are the laws about this? When I talked to the city of Los Angeles, they said, of course there's no law against taking pictures of public buildings. How could there be? And yet the idea that people are just disinclined and understandably so to say, look, I just don't want any trouble. I'm just out of here. At some point, people have to invest some of their own time to challenge this and say, I'm sorry, officer. You may be well-intentioned, but there is no law barring me from doing this.
Yeah, and you have to come right back at them and then threaten them. Just say, you know, I'll call a real cop on you.
Well, as you know, as I said, these guys are probably earning minimum wage. You know, what kind of backup do they have? They're kind of left out there on their own, and they're probably expected to kind of make it up, too. So you've got to feel sorry for them. But at the same time, somebody has told them, this is the line, nobody can do anything, and you're in charge of it.
When this whole NSA wiretapping thing came up, I started to talk about that quite frequently on my program. And I would get calls from the right that would say, well, I really don't care if they listen in on me. I've got nothing to hide. And if it can stop terrorism and if it can catch one guy. And, of course, I point out to them that if you really wanted to get serious and the Bush administration were really serious about stopping terrorism and nipping it in the bud, then they would have found the two that we had here in San Diego that actually took flying lessons mm-hmm. within a mile of the building where I'm sitting in today.
Yeah.
And it would have been difficult to find them because they were listed in the phone book, in the white pages, with their real names. And we could start there. But now they say, oh, no, you don't have to worry. Things have changed since 9/11, and it's okay if they listen in on my phone calls.
Yeah.
And they want to listen to me ordering pizza and make an appointment at the hairdresser, then that's fine.
Here's the problem, and here's the answer that I give to readers and callers who say virtually the same thing. They say,
and I have
it's
one
fine,
too, so I
I'm not doing anything wrong. And then I say, well, in your idea, it's not wrong. But who sets the line for what's wrong? 40 years ago, it was wrong to have an interracial marriage until the test case. Who are you to say it's not wrong in the eyes of the people who are listening to you? And I think that really does give people pause, because when you look back at the record of intelligence agencies like the old PDID here in Los Angeles, or even the feds, spying on Quakers, Mayor Tom Bradley had an FBI file of great length because he was a black man who was involved in civil rights organizations. So it's not, maybe you're not doing anything wrong in your eyes, but whose definition of wrong is it being employed here?
Well, we went through that with the McCarthy hearings, didn't we? I mean, that was a definition of you know, you're a communist. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's almost like saying prove that you never went bankrupt. How do you do that?
Well, it's the idea of using the word terrorist. It's become a kind of trickle-down word that people fling around the way they used to fling around the word communist 50 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It becomes terrorist or sympathizer becomes something that you cannot defend yourself against.
No, you can't. You can't. And here's the answer I give them. I say, okay, so you don't care if they listen in your phone calls and calling the pizza parlor, but let me ask you a question. So you're driving somewhere, and if they're following you, and then at a stoplight, they say, you know, can we talk to you a minute? You know, do you mind if we look in the trunk? Is this okay with you? No, it's not. I said, why not? You have nothing to hide, right?
Exactly.
So you get nothing to hide, and they follow you to school, and they follow you. They just track you. If you physically see them tracking you, following you into restaurants, looking at you, following you, talking to the waiter, what did he order? Is this okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not okay. I said, well, they're doing the same thing electronically, only you can't see them, and that's okay? Well, now that you put it that way.
What if you're talking to your daughter at school and she's telling you that she started going on the birth control pill because she's dating somebody and they're having sex? Is that all right for them to listen in? And I think you'd find many people saying, well, no, that's not all right. Well, then that's the line you need to be aware of, and you have to set the line before that conversation takes place.
Amazing. What was your broadcast down at the border on yesterday?
We were talking about how life at the border is very different from the way a lot of politicians in Washington perceive it.
Isn't it, though?
Well, 70,000 people a day cross the border legally, most of them coming north. They do business in the United States. They shop in the United States, and then they go back to Mexico at night. It's a very different sort of region. We also talked about the 14-mile border fence that's being proposed to be built along the border, the triple fence, which does not have to observe any environmental safeguards.
No, all the environmental safeguards are being waived, and it's apparently a 10-foot fence, which Brian Schweitzer, the governor of Montana, told me, and the only reason they're doing that is so Walmart can sell 11-foot ladders.
Well, there's so many more sophisticated, they're going to do something like this. There's so many more sophisticated ways of doing it that don't require that kind of construction project. And, of course, the joke in California is if they're going to build this fence, they're going to have to hire Mexicans to do it.
Which side of the fence are they going to be working on?
Well, they'll have to work on this side, and then we'll send them back, I suppose, when their work is done.
That'll be that guest worker program that we know and love. Hey, Pat, it's always great to talk to you. When's the next column coming up, and what's the topic?
It's going to be on Thursday, and it's about some hissy fits in Los Angeles politics.
That's always an interesting topic. Pat, thanks a million. Pat Morrison.
My pleasure,
Columnist for the L.A. Times, multiple Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the L.A. Times, 4 golden mics for her broadcasting capabilities.
half a dozen Emmys, a very, very talented lady, and very, very bright, as you can tell. And I urge you to go online and read her column, which was called Tourist Photos, Get Me Security. That's the LA Times. That's Pat Morrison. John Elliott on the Air America Radio Network on the Majority Report. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take calls, 866-303-2270. We're on the home stretch. Lots of them. Way more still to go. Don't go away. I mean it. I know where you live.
Uh-oh. Turbulence up ahead. Buckle your tray tables. Return your seat to the upright position. Stow your personal belongings underneath the seat in front of you or above in the overhead bin, if there's room. Because you've been cleared for takeoff on the Majority Report. With Sam Cedar and Janine Garofalo, the pilot and co-pilot of Truth.
A liberal dose of the truth.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sit on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete disorder is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
People that have to be really, really happy about all this news about the war is the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? We'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
We'll be right back.
John Elliott. How you doing? Tuesday night. We do this all week. Make sure you're with us. 7 to 11. Well, 7 to 10. 7 to 11 if Mike lets us do an hour. Yesterday I talked, I received a call from a person that said that there was a black baby in Texas that was taken off life support and subsequently died while Bush was governor. And I confessed I was not aware of that. It's a true story. This is a gentleman, or general, it's a baby by the name of Sun Hudson. And his mother, Wanda, was informed that he was most likely unable to survive because he had a typically fatal form of congenital dwarfism, and he should be removed from his breathing tube. She did not want him to be removed, and legal delays prevented the removing of the breathing tube, which would have occurred in 2004. However, a judge ruled that the removal of the tube, contrary to the wishes of the mother, was legal. So what they did is they removed the tube. The press wanted to be there. The media was invited by her. The media was blocked by the hospital because they said that they had privacy concerns for the mother. That was not during Bush's presidency, but it was clearly at a time that there was a law called Chapter 166 of the Texas Health Care and Safety Code, the Advanced Directives Act, something that he was aware of, something he could have done something about. But no, he was on his ranch vacationing. Well, no, he wasn't. He was running back, rushing back to sign the Terri Schiavo bill. And we all know how well that worked out. You know, he cuts his vacation short to run back and sign the Terri Schiavo bill for one single girl who is brain dead, unless you listen to Senator Bill Frist, who said that she was active because he diagnosed her on video. But he doesn't, didn't want to cut his vacation too short to go and visit Katrina. Robert, Manhattan, New York. You're on the Majority Report, John Elliott. How are you?
John, how you doing? Thanks for filling in for Sam. It's better than, you know, listening to repeats. I just wanted to say...
Thank you.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying it a lot. I just wanted to say...
Nice to know I'm better than a repeat. Thank you.
I live two blocks from Madison Square Garden, and back in 2004 when the Republicans were in town, they had built a bridge from the second floor of the General Post Office across 8th Avenue into the second floor of Madison Square Garden, so the Republicans didn't have to, you know, mix with the riffraff down on the ground. And I tried to take a picture of it one afternoon because I wanted to show friends of mine from out of town, you know, look what's going on here. They would close down 34th Street every afternoon and then bring them all in on buses. And they'd get off the buses, you know, keep them away from all the riffraff, you know, all the native the New Yorkers in the area. And can you imagine? And then last year, July, I went to this meeting up at the Ethical Cultural Society. Randy Rhodes was there and a few, you know, elected officials, Liz Holtzman, about the situation of impeachment and all that. And there were two black vans, one on 64th Street, one on Central Park West, with one-way glass. And Randy, I met her in the lobby. I was talking to her. And she said, yeah, well, you know, you're going to have your picture taken when you get out of here. They've probably taken it already. Can you imagine they were up there watching us there? Now, can you imagine what they're spending on all this?
Well, we had this story out here. The front page of the LA Times 2 weeks ago had a story that Governor Schwarzenegger's. Can you turn down your radio, please? Governor Schwarzenegger has a Homeland Security Department for the state.
Right.
And what they were doing is they were actually spying on and recording and taking pictures of people that were attending anti-war rallies here in the state of California, including Congressman George Miller, and he's with the East in the East Bay in the Oakland area. He was in his own constituency in Walnut Creek. He was in a public park, and he was speaking out against the war and his opposition to the war in Iraq, along with other elected officials. And specifically, they kept a file and a dossier on him. And we were able to get him on that day within a couple of hours because we know his press secretary and we know him. He's a terrific guy. And he said, who the hell's in charge? Who the hell's doing this? What the hell is going on here? So he wrote a letter to Schwarzenegger. He wrote a letter to Michael the Skull Chertoff to find out exactly what's going on. And you know what? You know, they're not answering. So here they are, and they're actually taking photographs and notes and keeping a dossier on citizens, including elected officials, at a park talking about their opposition to the war. So we live in strange times, Robert. We just have to be very careful about what's going on. You know, we do.
These people, for example, this Mayor Bloomberg in New York, who was, you know, kowtowing to Junior Bush when he was in town for the convention.
Right.
I mean, now this Bloomberg was a self-made man. He's a billionaire. Can't they see... What is with it? What is with these people if they can't see what a dunce this clown is? I mean, that you know, is it just the power that they want to be around?
Yeah. It's just, it's electability. Don't forget, Bloomberg was a Democrat until he felt it was kind of a pretty wide open field, and Mark Green was there, and he wanted to distinguish himself. And, of course, this was post 9/11, and New York was still basking in the euphoria of Giuliani, and he was able to get anointed by Giuliani. So, hey, thanks for the call, Robert. I really appreciate it. Wilt, Gilbert, Arizona, how are you? You're on the Majority Report with John Elliott. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. It's Wit.
Wit, excuse me. You know what? It's my eyes.
If
they
I may put the last
screen.
Two... That's all right, John. Maybe the good Lord Jesus Christ will forgive you for that little infraction. But, hey, John, to put the last two subjects together about the Bush administration stealing the election in 2004 and about spying on innocent people's, you know, whatever, and tapping into their phone calls and all that, when is the Bush's Hitler administration going to finally, do what they did Hitler used to do to people that were his detractors and burn down your station and bury you in an unmarked, unknown grave?
I don't know. When do you think that's... You know, I hear he has an enemy list. I hear he has an enemy list of 10,000 people. And
you think
I
what you want, whether
cannot,
it's true or not, right, John?
I can't find out if I'm on it. I have tried to find out if I'm on it. I can't find out. And I've said, you know, if I'm not on it, how do I get on it? Because I'm on the other side, man. You know, so burying me in an unmarked grave. Hey, oh well. Stuff happens. It's John Elliott. I'll be back tomorrow on the Majority Report. Oh, I've got some great guests for you tomorrow. You have to hear. Independent Congressman Bernie Sanders. Larry Beinhart, author. You've got to stay tuned for this. You know, this is a guy that wrote Wag the Dog. It's John Elliott, Majority Report, Air America. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Stay safe.